every thought in here.
Everybody, everybody, get into it. Get stoked.
Come on.
Get retarded.
Come on.
Get retarded.
Yeah.
Get retarded.
Just get retarded.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, hi there.
Oh, hi there. How y'all doing? It's me, your old buddy Rob Spiewak, busily trying not to exceed my copier budget. And just wanted to let you know, why doesn't Terry Schiavo watch anything on television? Because there's nothing on the tube. Okay, best of Don and Mike. Hey, listen, it was Chris laughing. Tuesday edition, it's your old buddy Rob Spiewak, and let's talk about the curse. The curse of television people that like Don and Mike. Don has himself a crush. Yeah, it's, you know, just a nice little schoolboy crush, not unlike the way that I find the mother in the movie The Incredibles attractive. But his crush is on Lisa Joyner from KCBS in Los Angeles. And Don and Mike get a mention from Lisa Joyner, and they worry about the curse because it seems like every time Don and Mike make friends with someone on television, something bad happens. It's the curse of the television friendship on the best of Don and Mike.
I am the most selfish man in radio,
mm-hmm.
and I'll tell you why. This is great for me.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of you, I don't know. You're okay. Here for the ride.
We'll see.
There's a girl that I watch on television in Los Angeles.
Special lady.
A special lady named Lisa Joyner, who we
little
had.
Lisa Joyner.
We had on the show yesterday, and of course I watched her again today.
Yeah.
And I should mention that I watch it as background just about every day when I'm reading the newspaper or
right.
I'm on the treadmill. I'm you know. Lounging.
But you made it a point to watch today.
I mean, having my coffee.
Yeah, whatever.
As you like to say.
Whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm watching her
mm-hmm.
while she's on
getting
TV.
Getting my nails done.
You know, Mike, whatever it is, whatever pampering I'm giving myself, if it's
sitting in your robe that's like Al Capone in The Untouchables.
If it's like Calgon bath oil bead time.
You open the door to your house and it's two doors that open up and you hear, dun, 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 dun.
It's an important part of your day of beauty.
So listen, this is why it's great to be the most selfish man in radio.
Because mm-hmm.
you can have a radio show, and you can talk about a girl that just you watch on television.
Right.
Understand, she works in Los Angeles. Our show has never been in, will never be in Los Angeles.
Right.
Never will happen. Yet I watch her. Beth Ann hears me talk about this. We get her on the air. And then this morning, this is from KCBS Channel 2.
Here we go.
In Los Angeles.
Wow.
I'm watching, and I'm not expecting anything. Like, we do have a tape here somewhere of Marty Bass
mm-hmm.
from Channel 13 in Baltimore. We spoke to Marty yesterday.
You would have been horribly disappointed if she didn't mention you.
Yeah, we've got the tape of Marty Bass. But
good.
I was expecting that she would just throw in something like...
Just a real quickie.
I thought it would be
very
like,
small.
Hey, listen, no. Hi to the germ out there that had me on the radio show
when
yesterday.
You called me the first time today, do you think it was going to be a throwaway at that point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I called Mike and I said...
You thought she was blowing it off.
Yeah,
right.
I said, she just teased it. I was walking.
Wow, she promoted it.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is really, again, you know, there's so many levels of me that we could dissect here. The perverted level of me seeing a girl on TV who I don't know, but I think is cute.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Then the fact that I go to the length of, she's on the show.
Fall in love with her even though you don't know her.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And my wife knows it. And then,
yes.
You know, then today, you know, I'm around the TV going, well, you know, it's almost like high school. You know, I sent her a note yesterday on the
mm-hmm.
radio.
Right.
Will she send me a note back today on the television?
She sure did.
Yeah, she did. And it's funny. And that's what's funny, and that's why I'm the most selfish man in radio, and I urge you to go out and get a radio show.
Yes.
So you can be a selfish person in radio.
It's a good
because
thing.
It's really great to sit there and think, now, it's one thing for me. I'm doing a show that's heard by, we do the show, heard by 4-6 million people.
Right.
Okay? It's a radio show. She's on television in Los Angeles. She's supposed to be doing the weather in the morning. It's
mm-hmm.
10 till 7.
Right.
And instead, she's talking about our show, which is not even heard in Los Angeles.
Then it's not like this might get us a leg up in Los Angeles.
No, this will do nothing for us
no.
in Los Angeles.
No, but it makes us feel good, you especially.
Makes me feel good. And I thought...
Well, we like it, too, because she's a TV hottie.
Oh, and she
right?
is, and today...
The fact that she mentioned us, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Today, boy, oh, boy.
We got the videotape. I want to look at it,
looking
right?
Looking good?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Little spaghetti straps, little blue spaghetti straps. Beth Ann's comment was... Oh, it looks like she's wearing pajamas.
Yeah.
So anyway, this was this morning on Channel 2 as we continue the most selfish hour in radio.
What are the chances that Hoffman's wife would have the same, you know, allergy? That's just incredible.
Much luckier than that.
Lucky woman. She used up a few of her nine lots.
Yes, she did. Hey, I just wanted to, because you reminded me, I want to tell you, there's two guys, Don and Mike, they do a show on Westwood One. We don't get it in Los Angeles, but some reason they watch us. They watch us, they're on the East Coast. They watch us, I think, on the early Pacific Coast feed is what they call it. They get an early CBS feed. Let's go outside. And they...
Now, at this point...
Wow. When she says, let's go outside.
She's, what she's got is, like, the background of whatever it is, the Santa Monica Pier.
Mm-hmm.
And later, as she's just continuing to talk about us, the map is up there with the highs and the lows
and
the fronts. And she's just ignoring all the weather stuff that is still moving along beside her, in front of her, and to both sides of her.
Big fans.
Radio jockeys?
Radio disc jockeys in the...
Radio jocks?
Was that Brockman?
That was Kent Shockneck.
What are they, radio jocks?
What are they?
Radio jocks?
Radio jocks? I'm Kevin Brock.
Big fans. The guy,
radio jocks?
Radio disc jockeys.
Radio jocks?
The one guy, Don, is apparently a big fan of mine. And I said, yeah, okay, sure. And then, stop kidding, Kevin. I thought it was my brother. And they said, would you like to do a little call-in? And I said, oh, sure, that's fine. So I called in, and I said, prove to me that you're a big fan. He goes, well, I see you at 5:07, and then about 5:13, you come on, and about 5:45, you do the morning dish. And I went, okay, creepy. Okay, kind of creepy.
Let me just point out, this is what's so selfishly great about this. It's one thing for us to waste time on this show about what fascinates us in our lives.
You're right.
But this girl is now... making only one man's fantasy come true.
And she's speaking to all of Los Angeles on the television.
Yes. Yeah, and they don't know me from Adam or you from Adam.
No, but you know any
But is
chance.
She great? Let me just say, can I pick them or what?
Oh, yeah, you picked the right lady.
Can I pick them or what?
Well, what if she blew you off, though?
Oh, well, then she'd be dead to me. But I will hold out that way back in the day, I do say that we are star makers on this show.
You know, it's amazing that we go out to Los Angeles and we get treated like that with the local TV.
Mm-hmm.
When here in Washington, of course, maybe it's the way we speak about local TV here in D.C.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
wow. Who was it that was on? Chris Matthews' wife was on. Oh, she's on Channel 7.
Mm. Right.
She was on up in the office and just said...
Carl Matthews.
I saw her. I just went, oh! Oh! Yeah. God, you know.
And now here's time for another Washington, D.C. News Rhino.
Just not pretty stuff.
Here's a News Rhino.
Just not pretty.
So she's still talking about you?
Oh, and you. And listen to the detail here. She mentions Frida's name.
Yeah,
and this continues now.
Plus, he knew, like, all the old jobs I had and stuff. Anyway, his partner, Mike, said, you know, his wife knows about this, and it's kind of weird. You know, he watches it every morning and stuff. I said, what does your wife think about it? They get her on the phone. She's like, is this Frida... do you mind that he's kind of obsessive? And she goes, no. You know what? I can't control my husband's fantasies. You want them? You got them. I love her.
Wow.
I wanted to give a little shout out. Thanks to those guys. If you're
now,
in Sacramento or...
Stop it for a second. Now, excuse me. Now, you conveyed this to me via telephone, but I mean, in the old days, I could probably tell you what state you were in when this was going on.
Yeah,
this was your fantasy realized. She's there your magic box, and she's talking about you.
Let me just say, understanding that we don't do the same type of show that we used
to do. It's like 2 minutes worth.
I haven't been this excited since I had that prostate exam last Thursday. But I was sitting naked in the doctor's office. Yeah.
She's doing a whole sketch on
that. Can I pick her? Can I pick them? And listen, the last one handpicked by the Don and Mike show, although I'll take credit for Lisa Joyner, you know, and she likes to hide from this fact.
Mm-hmm.
But please remember that Miss High and Mighty Katie Couric.
Yes, Katie Couric.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day.
She was our gal.
That's right. And would you believe this? That we had the audacity to call her in the morning and ask her, while she was in bed, what style and color underpants Katie Couric wore.
What type of underwear she was wearing.
She would never take that call now.
Oh, of course.
No.
She won't take our call now, period.
Right. She's not even... She's beyond TV network news people. She's hobnobbing with, owners of baseball teams.
I saw her last night before the convention. They were doing some pieces. She was walking around with her good friend, Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
of course.
Get him. Ben, go home. Hi, this is Boston Rob. I'm here with Ben Affleck, and we're going to talk to Katie Couric.
Ben Affleck,
yuck.
When did Ben Affleck become a political pundit?
Well,
go home.
Mikey is
a moron.
He's Mr. He's Mr. Boston, and he was giving her a private tour of Fenway Park. So just remember, back in the day, there was a time when Katie Couric treated us with this same love and attention.
Just for anybody that, you know, as far as not running down the Red Sox here, Matt Damon, Red Sox fan too, okay? He's the good one. We don't want Ben Affleck.
Right.
Listen, I'm sorry. You have to. You want Matt Damon, you got to take the tar. You got to take
the tar with Ben. You know what I hate about Ben Affleck?
What, everything?
No, he's doing all the crap I'd do if I was a movie star. You know, that
okay,
son of a
fair.
Gun, he's like running around. He's going, yeah, there's Ben Affleck with J-Lo. I would have dated J-Lo. I would have had the box seats in the front row at Fenway Park.
Sure.
And I would have gone to the Democratic Convention.
But you wouldn't have married J-Lo.
No way.
Right?
No way.
And that's where it ends.
No.
That's where it ends. Hold on.
Well, then again, wait a minute. Maybe I would have.
Let's get back to Lisa Joyner.
Yes, please.
Okay, what, Robbie?
Ben Affleck didn't marry her. He just strung her along. Would you string her along?
Sure.
Yeah. See, there you go.
I hate him.
That's an expensive string, though, Mike.
Yeah. We all paused.
We did.
Okay.
We all paused to think about that.
Here we go.
Speaking of strings.
What are the chances that Hoffman's wife...
Oh, hold on. It restarted.
You know,
oh, that means we might have to listen to the whole thing.
Oh, no, we won't. I'll just fast forward it through.
I think she's flirting back with you.
Hold on. Yeah. I think so, too. If you watch her body language...
And I am now.
Oh, you're watching.
I'm just watching a little clip of her morning weather there.
Yeah. There's a lot of shoulder action there.
Yeah.
Is that,
is
that from this morning?
Or some of their 45 affiliated cities. Listen to the Don and Mike show. 62 degrees in Burbank, 65.
Well, anyway, that's how it kind of ends. Isn't she sweet?
That's not for long.
Isn't she just great?
I want to see
101 degrees in Newhall, 75.
The videotape's up on the desk in the office. You were late today. Hey, would someone grab the tape from up on the desk?
Yeah, we want to see that because didn't you?
We never have show and tell.
Didn't she sort of give herself an embrace at some point?
At the very end.
I want to see with the cigarette move.
Now this had nothing to do with me, but at the very end of at the very end of this particular newscast, as I mentioned, she put on a sweater because you know, for goodness sake, she's doing the weather in her pajamas.
You mentioned that,
and she just kind of leaned forward towards the camera, and I was sitting there, you know, in my chair at home, just, you know, she's probably looking in the camera right now saying, I wonder if that friggin' creep is watching me now.
She didn't wonder. She didn't have a doubt in her mind. She knew you were out there. She was talking directly to you.
She wore the low-cut baby blue with the spaghetti straps just for you today.
Why is she doing that if it's not for you?
Yeah.
Of course she knows you could be watching that. She knows that's totally for you.
She dresses like that every day on TV, though.
She's speaking to you directly.
Every day on TV.
Flirting with you.
Baby.
Chances.
Are we going to be able to get the videotape in here so Mike can see this?
Allergy.
See the actual?
Not in here.
Not in here?
No.
Oh, Mike will have to go in the production room to see it? Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to, because you reminded me, I want to tell you, there's two guys, Don and Mike, they do a show.
Okay, so anyway, thank you. Thank you to Lisa Joyner.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yes. KCBS.
The lovely Lisa.
Exciting.
Very sweet. Yeah. Watch, she'll become a big star someday.
Yeah.
And then we'll say that we knew her. And then
did my love interest mention us on TV this morning?
He did, Mike. Now, I think we'll send her flowers.
Oh, that'd be nice.
You send her flowers.
No, we will send her flowers.
D-O-N-I. It should come from you.
I'm married.
Are you in trouble about this a little bit?
No, not at all. Not at all. If anything, my wife thinks it's ridiculous. Now, the other beautiful person that said hello to us on television today.
Another TV cutie.
Was from... Channel 13 in Baltimore. Yesterday, as it turns out, we had a conversation with Marty Bass, who for many years we thought we had been feuding with.
No, but not, never seriously.
Right.
We just didn't know.
Hold on, I got a question here on the phone, and I didn't want to say it, but I'll let this guy say it, because I was thinking it. Hey, Rich?
Yeah. Hey, I was wondering, while Leah was doing her morning workout when she was looking at the news, she might have been thinking when she heard your names were in the
screen. Oh, yes.
You know what, I gotta say, I didn't want to say it because it appears to be small and petty, but I gotta say, I had the thought, too. What if Lisa Remedy from King and Queens happened to get up yesterday morning?
She'll probably call Lisa Joyner.
Yeah. There's a younger woman...
Right.
On television, and who's talking about us now.
But yes. They're friends, and if Leah calls Lisa...
I bet they're not really friends. Well, I bet they're like showbiz
Lisa
friends.
Said, yeah,
I bet they're showbiz friends.
Don't we think the fantasy's getting a little out of hand now?
Mike, do we have to stop it at this point? Do we really have to stop it?
No.
Because winner! Because, yeah.
A picture of...
you got it. Thank you.
You know, Leah Remini with her newborn baby feeding in front of the TV, picking up a shoe and throwing it at the TV. Damn you, Don Geronimo!
Thank you. And Mike.
No.
You don't want Leah to hate you, too?
No, with Leah, you were always, you know, with the TV ladies, you're always the one that takes point.
I know. Guilty pleasure. Guilty.
Me, you know, let's separate it, okay? When it comes to this show, okay, you're the one that falls in love with the TV hotties and brings them into here. That's your element of selfishness. My element of selfishness is pure whoredom. I am a whore.
But I like Stan Lee, too.
Of course.
I acted like a girl with him.
Yes, I know.
I acted like he was a girl with me, with the guy that made up Spider-Man.
This is true, but these are all people that they come on the show and they're put on the show. Mine are simply gratuitous plugs for businesses that make my life better.
Do we have a plug at this moment?
Oh, no. I mean, if you wanted me, you know, if you were giving me a free pass, I'd throw one out, but there.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'll save. I want to save them.
Yeah, wise. Okay,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, save them up, see?
Mm-hmm.
File that.
Tim, Don and Mike show. Hello,
right.
Tim.
That's right.
Hey, guys. Did you hear what local TV personality is looking for work? That was a big fan of yours?
Yes. If you're going to mention Gervier Dinza, you are bringing news that is months old to us.
Gotcha.
And now, what is your mom?
She's a dirty whore.
Thank you. And what town does she live in?
Baltimore.
All right. We accept that answer.
We accept that as whore city.
Did Gervier get a job with Channel 5?
I do not think so.
It was the rumor that was around.
You know, we can, we can talk about Gervier. We could talk about what happened to Frank Herzog.
Yeah.
Why has
Frank,
life,
who's still on the weekend.
Why has life taken such a crap he's not our friend, he's our acquaintance, but Frank Herzog.
Yeah, and I mean, Frank, don't you think Frank falls into that category where you do something long enough, they at least kind of take care of you instead of just, saying bye-bye?
I'll tell you exactly what's happening here. What we're doing now is, all we're doing is talking about TV people. But it's okay because, you know, the TV lady said hi to me, and then we met the Marty Bass tape here. Frank Herzog is another TV guy. We've meant to talk about, there are four separate TV people here.
Mm-hmm.
There's the TV girl in Los Angeles, okay? Then there's the TV guy in Baltimore, Martin Bass.
Right.
We'll play his tape in a moment.
TV cutie.
Then there's the TV lady in Washington, Gervier, who just got fired from the CBS station, who used to call our show.
Very nice lady.
Right. Then there's Frank Herzog, the guy who used to be the voice of the Redskins and used to be the main sports guy on the CBS station. He got fired from both of those jobs within, 3 months.
And as far as the feud at Frank Herzog, let me tell you, we never had a real feud with him. But you know what? Over the years, we gave him a lot of grief. You know, fun grief. Poking fun at him.
Yeah.
You know what? The guy never, ever backed away from coming on this show and talking to us. And he knew what we did, and he gave us a hard time one time. And it was always in fun, I thought. And it's just unfortunate to see that what's happened to him.
Sure. The nicest thing I can really say about Frank Herzog, and incidentally, he knew that we joked about his hair plug.
Sure. Of course he did.
Way back in the day.
Right.
But the nicest thing ever was that bizarro weekend when somebody got sick. The Redskins are playing Tampa Bay. It's an exhibition game. And they only had two guys to do the game.
Right.
So somebody said to me, do you want to do the game?
Mm-hmm.
And it was me and Sam Huff and Frank Herzog.
Right. You were the third color guy.
Yeah. Now, Sam was less than thrilled.
Sam didn't want you in that booth.
That DJ was in there.
Yes.
Frank Herzog, I still remember to this day, we were walking around the field at the Buccaneer Stadium, and here's a guy, for 15 years, I've said he's got hair plugs, you know, we used to make fun of him,
right.
He's tall and dorky and all the things, but then we kind of became friends with him. Now when he could really screw me, because it's a real
NFL. Oh, he could have paid you back so big.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's a real NFL game. He could have just said anything to me like, hey, Don, you got any idea who number 82 is? You know, meanwhile, I'm looking, we're walking around the field before the game. He said, listen.
Don't sell yourself short, though. You would have known who number 82 was. So.
Jock Wes Green.
There you go.
But
I know what you're saying.
But he was nice enough, and I don't think I mentioned this at the time, as we were walking around the field to say, listen, broadcasting is broadcasting. You're a broadcaster. I'm a broadcaster. We're the guys who know what we're doing in the booth. You just go up and broadcast and have a good time. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing he said is, I got your back.
Ah.
So just have fun.
God bless.
And I don't think I ever mentioned that about Frank Herzog because I don't like saying nice stuff about people because it
comes back and bites
it's
you.
It's not my rap, and also at some point he'll come up and say, hey, thanks for, and you know, it's like that would just make me feel oogie. But that was a very nice thing for Frank Herzog to do.
Yeah.
And he's a TV guy now who just got canned from two gigs. And here's what's embarrassing about this, as opposed to like if you're fired in radio,
mm-hmm.
you're fired. I mean, you're gone.
Right.
They call you in and you say,
mm-hmm.
what? And they say, you just did your last show.
Mm.
This guy, Frank Herzog, they can him from the Redskins, and they can him from Channel 9, and they put it in the newspaper that they can him, and then they expect him to still go in and work, like, for 4 months.
Yeah, right. I saw him this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the weekend. So, you know, it's just, he is a good guy, and he's a professional, and that's all you need to say about the guy.
And anyway, he got screwed by Channel 9.
It's the one, he got screwed here, too.
Oh, yeah. By Redskins Radio as well. But we covered that in depth when that happened.
Yeah.
And Gervier, I don't know what's going on there.
No, that's it. I've read rumors that Gervier is going to Channel 5, but I don't know whether they're true or not.
Well, I wish all of these people would call. And, you know, as long as we're on the topic, Wilma, when are you going to call, baby?
Yeah, where's she?
Wilma Thomas, where are you, honey?
Come on, you know it'll be fun.
Come on, Wilma.
We're just going to talk about the fact that we think you'd make a good woman.
And we think you look like Michael Jackson. If Michael Jackson totally bleached his skin. And
no, you look like Michael Jackson. If Michael Jackson succeeded with everything he wanted
to
do.
If all the plastic surgery went
properly.
Well,
that's the positive.
Yeah, you're the ideal.
That's right, Will. We're talking to you, Will Thomas.
There is a picture in Michael Jackson's dressing room of Will Thomas, and under it says, after. That's the target. That's what he wants.
That's absolutely. Right.
So there's so many TV people that we'd love to talk about. And we'd like some of them to call in.
That'd be nice.
Like Gervier Dinza, if you're listening, you've called our show before. She's an anchor lady on the CBS station here in D.C. She just got her ass booted out of that station.
We'd love to know what your plans are. I mean, apparently her husband is down south or something like that. She might be going down to a TV station down there. I'd like to know what she's doing.
A lot of the time with radio people, like, for instance, when Jim and Mary got fired,
right.
These two people work on a country station. We don't really know them, but we know them. They got fired, and we called the next day. Said, you want to be on our show? So, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Want to tell their side of the story.
Good. Absolutely.
You know,
great.
I would hope that the TV people like Gervier and Frank, you know, listen, what do you got to lose? I don't expect you to come in and say that, you know, what you'd like to do is
go
into Channel 9 with a gun today. But
we just miss you.
You know, you could say, gee, boy, you're treated poorly. You know, you should be treated with a little more respect than that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's all I wanted to say. And Frank Herzog, don't put off calling in. Just remember, Davey Marlin Jones. Never called this show, and now, sadly...
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, regretfully, he has passed.
Davey Marlin Jones is gone. He's
waited
out.
Too long.
Now, hold on. Here's Harpo. Harpo, this is the Don and Mike show. Hello, Harpo.
Hey, if past activities can foretell the future, does that mean that Lisa and Marty are on their way out, or just Lisa because she's the CBS affiliate?
Oh, no. The fact that Gervier Dinza got blown out had nothing to do with her association with our show. As a matter of fact, you would use it, as we've already pointed out, the benchmark, the person that we would use as the trial would be Katie Couric.
Right. Yeah.
That there's someone who was on our show for many years.
She became the Today Show co-anchor.
Then became very famous and forgot that we were ever a part of her life.
Now she's with the Red Sox guy, the owner, and like one of the big wigs, Tom Warner.
That's right. With her fancy
there.
Shoes.
She was there with all the power brokers the other night. And really, she was kind of like the star of the show with her perky little smile.
She's Katie Couric.
However, Mike Buchanan used to spend a lot of time with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had some quality times with Mike Buchanan.
He survived a long time, though, after
he did.
That.
See, mm-hmm. And now Mike
is starting to give me a complex, because, yes, people that have been, like, really close to the show have never lasted in TV.
Look for Morris Jones.
Yeah, but, you're right.
He still wants to be our friend. Yeah. Morris Jones does.
Yeah.
It's the bubonic Don and Mike.
Oh, don't tell me we've got the reputation. Don't come on our show now. You won't last in television.
No, come on, please.
No. We have Katie Couric. We've got that in.
That's
an
right.
Example.
You'll always have that.
And listen, who says that, you know, what's going on with Leah Remini? I think that we didn't say goodbye. We just said, see you later.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
See you later.
It's not goodbye. Just so long. And Frank...
Frank doesn't count.
No, right, because we're just talking out of our butts on Frank Herzog, right. You know, because we'd like him to call in.
We just like him.
And Gervier has called the show before, and she should call in.
Love her.
And frankly, all of these people that we waste time talking about on television should call in and acknowledge the fact that we're talking about you.
Absolutely.
And that includes you too, Laura Evans. I'm talking to you, because I know you're out there.
And don't forget the very successful Steve Doocy.
Oh, screw Steve Doocy.
He's done rather well.
Doocy on the Zoo.
No, you know, I boycott that Fox News channel.
Dude, just, you can go back with all the people we've had little bitty relationships with. Paul Berry.
Oh.
You know, and we've got Maury Povich.
Yeah. We got a lot of...
I mean, it's beyond... all these people, it goes a little bit beyond the interview.
Yeah, it burns white hot for a while.
Yeah.
And then there's always the one thing that we do that ends up ruining the relationship when these people don't want to be our friends anymore.
Exactly.
But I think that's part of our charm.
That's right.
The fact that just like with this Lisa Joyner thing, the fact that I can't let it go. I went to Beth Ann and I said...
Well, you've got the distance factor with her, so she won't be poisoned.
I said, send her some flowers. But it doesn't mean I won't email her. Because that's how it started with Leah.
Yeah, I know.
Remember, it was just, you know.
I say within 3 months, we'll be doing a live broadcast from Los Angeles, and you'll be sleeping in our house.
I only did that with Leah one
time.
That's
the goal. I got news for you.
And there was nothing sexual there. You know that because I
got news for you, though. This time, I'm coming.
Hey, pal. Tiger. Single guy out there living the life that all of us wish we could. Let me just say, if I got to go to Los Angeles to sleep at her home,
right.
Like I did with Leah's, where nothing happened, but I was just in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And I would want that to be my private timeline.
Okay.
My private time in Lisa Joyner's house. Mm. And how scared do you think she'd be if she heard a copy of this tape today?
I think there'd be a restraining order in your future.
How frightened do you think she would be, for Jesus Christ's sake? What is this? Oh, is that the Bob Hope broken tape?
Yeah,
are you still broken. Trying to push your
Rob,
wares?
Rob, what's wrong with you?
Rob is still trying to push his wares on me now. Mm-hmm. Most times...
That was sad.
Most times...
Had that worked, that would have been fine.
Are we going to be able to transfer that? Because we ought to save that digitally.
Let's see, hold on.
I'm back to the University of Oklahoma. This guy has some appetite. I took him through a drive.
All right, can we save it before it's totally destroyed?
We're
going
to damage it. Technology, we can rebuild it.
All right.
Well, then what you have to stop doing is just slipping it in the machine and, you know, giving me the...
But I like it.
Push number six.
I like it a lot. It's a tribute to a great man.
He likes it when it slows down, too.
Hold on. Here's
but he's not telling you.
Hold on. John has the best TV celebrity friendship we ever had that went bad. The best and the biggest, and this one is undisputed. John.
Your love fest with Larry King.
Yeah.
That's the biggest and the best.
Yeah, that's true.
Remember, at one point, he asked us to MC a charity roast for him.
For him.
Mm-hmm. For him.
Yeah, and we did it.
That's how tight we were with Larry King.
Mm-hmm. Back
he gave him a heart attack.
Well, he had a heart attack the day after he came on our show.
But
no one can dispute that fact.
But he's the biggest name, and he's the one that we can say, yeah, we are fighting with.
Yes, that's a feud.
Because he's sad now. He doesn't like us.
Well, you can hear it when he's, you know, when the people call and mention our names to Larry, and he just, you know, gets completely thrown off track.
What with Donna Mike?
Donna Mike?
I'm a all right, a break, and then we'll hear the Marty Bass tape. Hello, Nikki, Ricky?
Uh-huh.
Oh, hi, Nikki.
That's Nikki.
Nikki, hi.
Uh-huh.
Hi, you're so fine.
Hi.
You blow my mind. Hey, Nikki.
Hi, it's Nikki with an N, actually.
Oh, hi, Nikki.
Everybody gets it wrong. I was just calling. You guys had it mentioned, like, I don't know, I'm kind of a new listener, but Jim Vance, he's on 4. But
yeah, I think we've never had a relationship with Jim Vance, and we have always felt that he hates us. And because of just, you know, well, this is TV, folks.
Well, yeah. yes. And also, I think we were the ones to coin the fact that he looks like Grady from Sanford and Sundown.
And, of course, he couldn't have been repaired after that.
Yeah. No. It seems like he's, like, losing it now or something. Maybe his vision's going. But if you ever watch, like, a newscast with him, he's always flubbing something or has to go back and read it.
How old would Jim Vance be now?
Way old.
60s
like,
old?
I would think so.
I know. The sad thing is I have a huge crush on him, too, and I'm, like, 28, and I have no idea
why. I've always thought that Jim Vance is kind of cool.
He is kind of cool.
As far as anchors go, you know.
Like the man.
His delivery is he's too cool for school.
Right. So, yeah. Nikki, you like the older newsman then?
I guess so. I don't.
Shut up, Buzz.
I'm sorry.
Buzz. I'm tight, but I really have, you know.
On the day after your anniversary.
Listen, darling,
what was
Nikki,
I thinking?
Darling Nikki, my darling Nikki, the words I would say now on the radio, but we would lose our license now. Darling
right.
Nikki.
Magazines.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks.
Goodbye. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And if that subject is coming to the show in a very roundabout way.
I don't know what subject you're even talking about.
I don't. I'm just enjoying myself right now. I'm dancing on the ceiling.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Martin is officially back as manager of the Yankees. I told you that would happen Saturday night, didn't I? Trust me. Ah, yes. I thought this was the right song to play with it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chicago!
George Michael, the Don and Mike Show. With furs by Dicker and Dicker of Beverly Hills, this is the Don and Mike Show.
Don't I look stunning in this silver fox? Thought you'd like it. It's the best of Don and Mike with your old buddy, Rob Spiewak. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. Moving on, this segment is a continuation of the last segment. We talked about Don and Mike's crush, actually Don's crush, on Lisa Joyner from KCBS. Now we explore our crushes. We all have one. Our crushes on Marty Bass. I believe he's on Channel 13 in Baltimore. And Marty actually gave a shout-out to Don and Mike as well. It's the story of Marty Bass and all that entails on your favorite radio show. This is the best. Oh, I'll just go ahead and wait and say. The best of Don and Mike.
Now, what about Martin Bass?
Martin Bass, another TV mention. Or did he? I don't know if he did or not.
I didn't catch.
You okay. Didn't catch this. No.
This one very early.
You didn't catch, nor did you care as much. Very busy.
Yeah, I didn't lose any sleep over it when Marty Bass would say hi to us.
And that is where we part company. because I did lose sleep over this. I was thinking all night, will Martin, TV cutie Bass, say something about it?
Before you play the tape, can you also describe what he was wearing?
Marty Bass, same outfit as Lisa Joyner.
Oh, good.
Spaghetti strap.
Exact
blue.
Same outfit. So yesterday, unrelated to any of this talk about Lisa Joyner, I mentioned that Fried and I went to that Ravens party over the weekend.
Right.
And again, thank you to the Modells. And Marty Bass is there, and he's a guy who we allegedly have had a feud with, although we really didn't know why we were having a feud.
No. Sure.
So, anyway, you heard us talk to him yesterday at this point on the show, and here's Martin Bass from this morning on WJZ 13, also a CBS station in Baltimore.
Raven Nation is now starting to spread state. Well, I want to show you something real quick. I had, Friday night, I was at a wonderful party given in honor of...
Now listen, before we go any further, doesn't he really sound like a Baltimore guy?
He's Baltimore.
I mean,
yeah, and you want to talk about TV Survivor.
Oh, Marty Bass?
Oh, he
forget
is
about
Survivor,
it.
Survivor, yeah. This is great.
So anyway.
Marty.
Just wanted to get that out of the way.
But David and Michelle Modell to celebrate their marriage by Art and Pat Modell.
Uh-huh.
And I was at the table, same table with Don Geronimo and his wife, Frida. Radio legends out of D.C. and hear them locally 105.7 every afternoon here in Baltimore.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. They've been on forever, number one forever.
Forever.
But anyway, I was sitting there, Don right there modeling. It's a heck of a dress, pal. But I want to. But here's what I want to show you. Let me get to their pictures real quick.
Oh no!
This
on
is
the
the Redskins station.
No,
the
no,
Redskins
no.
Station.
Hold on. What picture?
What's he doing?
That?
Do you know what picture's still up there?
No.
It's you singing outside in the dress.
Oh, is that the picture that they put on television? The picture from WJFK.com?
That's the biggest picture of you that would be the first one you see when you click on.
Oh, my. I hope Lisa Joyner doesn't see that. Wow.
It's a nice dress, though.
I think I look lovely in it. I don't care. Whatever. Okay. So this is a picture of a dress with me on the website.
Hey, we're covering the TV airwaves. That's
okay. If I'm not mistaken, Don and Mike did Redskins radio
they did.
For a while.
They certainly
well, guess
did.
Guess what? The boy king himself, Dan Snyder, has managed to take one of his biggest allies and blow him off.
Wow, cool.
Why was Don Geronimo and Frida at a party for David and Michelle Modell? Well, here's Don right there on the sidelines with David Modell.
Oh, now he's going to the website.
Yes. Controversy.
So yeah. Now he's gone to the website to get the pictures of when I was on the Ravens sideline.
Right.
See,
right.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Hey, this is pretty sneaky, Marty Pass.
Interesting.
Pretty sneaky. A way to make everybody in Baltimore like me, but everybody in Washington hate me.
Do you realize that one of the Redskins' staunchest allies for years has been so alienated by the Boy King that he's become a major Raven fan? Let me show you something here.
That would be true, though.
Yeah. There's a great shot. Let me go back for a second. There's going to be a shot. There it is. Look at this. This is an incredible picture.
What is this one?
I'm Dan Snyder. I'm flipping out when I see this.
What's this picture?
Don Geronimo and Silver Betty in our house.
Oh, okay. Silver Betty is the nickname the Ravens have for the Lombardi Trophy, the Super Bowl trophy.
Right. Oh, so it's a picture of you with the Super Bowl trophy.
Remember that when they were nice enough to let me hold it? I got my picture taken with the scoreboard in the background and everything. Okay. So he's just going to the internet and showing pictures. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, this is funny.
This is okay.
Our house. Now, what does that tell you? Don and Frieda were talking about how much of a college atmosphere it is, how much fun it is at Raven Stadium as opposed to FedEx Field.
True.
Well,
we've been to
that.
FedEx Field. We know what that's like.
I stand by that.
The Big Bowl. The Big Bowl is right. But when you get one of the media heavyweights at D.C. now coming to almost every Raven home game, what does that tell you?
I got it.
Raven Nation expands.
That's right. And the Ravens will play the Redskins down there this year.
Is that it?
Better seen at home than down there.
Yes,
and
indeed.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to see if Don and Frieda want to come to the Poe Brothers tailgate.
All right.
Okay, this is
bring them on.
Oh, come up and sit in section 539, 540.
That's
with
right.
Us.
Oh, no.
Put on the lose the dress, put on the purple
That's
camo.
That's the party.
Oh, God.
That is the party. Raven Nation expands.
All right.
3 days and counting.
3 days. McDaniel College.
All right.
Westminster will be wild. All right.
That is just incredible.
It really is.
One of the main anchors from D.C.
of
the Redskins' flagship station comes the Ravens game.
Unbelievable. All right.
Dave Van Snyder.
See ya. Still to come on WJZ's Eyewitness News.
Those guys are funny.
Pam grabs her pen.
There it is.
Thank you, Martin.
Well,
Bass.
You were just all over the airwaves this morning on the East Coast and the West Coast.
I guess we were. Thank you, Marty. That's a nice deal. That's a nice little plug.
How's Mr. Snyder going to feel about that?
So that
what do they call the trophy?
Silver Betty.
Silver Betty?
That's the nickname for the trophy, for the Super Bowl trophy.
Is that the nickname all over the NFL?
No, just, well, now I don't have...
Or is it just, it sounds Ballmer to me. Silver Betty.
I think it's someone in the family.
Right.
The family named it Silver Betty.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I told you, the first time I went up there, I said, where's the Super Bowl trophy? And they said it's right there. It was just in an Adidas bag.
Right.
Just sitting on the floor. Really, the Super Bowl trophy.
Well, I guess since we've now endeared ourselves to the people of Baltimore, let me just... pass along sorry about last night.
Oh
dear.
But they play the Red Sox last night.
Yeah.
Oh. And actually in Baltimore they should change the name of the trophy to Syphilis Betty.
There's little Syphilis Betty.
They really should. Well, that was very nice of Martin Bass. Thank you, Martin.
Your head must be spinning.
It is, my God. But you know, on a purely erotic note, I'm having quite an internal battle. Which excited me more? Having Lisa Joyner speak about me or having Martin Bass show my pictures on
television. Well, I've seen the video of Lisa Joyner, and I have not seen the video of Marty.
Well, I got to see Marty live in person at the party on Friday. Mm-hmm. And Marty at the party.
Very good.
So that's what's happening with us.
Wow.
You know, because we never get anybody noticing us anywhere, so if we get...
We really don't. And, you know, if we do, it's because, you know, you or somebody on this show has a personal relationship, because, you know, there was a day when they'd pay attention to this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, God, I hate this. It will sound like Howard Stern, and I'm not going to do it, because we didn't invent disc jockeys getting on the radio for doing stupid stuff.
Yeah, what we don't do is the stupid stuff we used to do.
Yeah, and we used to do stupid stuff so much that the TV stations would really crawl all over themselves to come over and see people rolling cow dung to win money or whatever, you know, whatever crazy thing it is. Oh, and Mike, here is market number 46. Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, that is a beautiful city.
Charleston, South Carolina.
We're on in Charleston. Oh, my goodness. That is great.
That's radio station WQSC.
AM or FM?
come on.
All right, just like a man can hope, Danny.
1340 FM, Mike. If that makes you feel better, I'll say 1340 FM.
Wonderful, Charleston.
Yeah. So anyway, they get the show, I guess, starting, I'm not sure if it starts now or next week. But anyway, they've signed the contract with Lucifer.
Well, that's nice. That's a nice city, and really one of the most beautiful cities in the South.
So that's nice to bring them on board to listen to the show. I've got a question for Beth Ann, our producer, and Joe, our phone screener.
Hello?
Hey, B.A.
Hey.
What's happening?
Nothing.
Did you send those flowers to Lisa Joyner?
Yeah, but I called the place I sent them from, and I ordered them right after I talked to you this morning, and they hadn't been delivered as of 3:10.
You're fired. You're fired. That means those flowers will sit there all day. All day.
Isn't this the woman that got Lisa Joyner on the show for you?
She is, and of course she's not fired. I'm just having a hissy fit.
I know.
That day, you know, we'll work
You're
it out.
You're entitled to be a little, you know, you can have your days once in a while.
This is important to you.
You had yourself a day today. You can be a little, you know, PD.
PD?
Prima donna. You can prima donna D-O-N-I. I mean, you don't do that normally, and I think
I live in that world.
No, you
that is my world. Okay, well, as long as you send her flowers from the show, that's nice. B.A., here is a question for you.
Yeah.
You started here on our show, I think it was like the 1st of June, right?
First, uh-huh.
Okay, so it's now almost 2 months later. You've got the job. You're performing at a great level. However, what about the office swap? You know, we made the deal with Julie Foldman months ago to switch offices.
Yeah, I wasn't here yet. I just heard about it.
But when you got in, you jumped into it.
Mm-hmm.
The general, Jeff Hedges, he's already made the side deal. He's moved his office.
He's had his office there for 3 weeks.
Luxurious suite.
We're still in the same crappy office upstairs. We want to move to a crappy office downstairs so we can be by more of the people that actually run the radio station every day, more of the hands-on.
Come on, Wendell.
Frank, it's
winner.
It's not Wendell's fault.
I know. Wendell knows I do that too, about everything. Right.
What's the status with getting us moved?
It took like almost 2 weeks to find out who actually is in charge of cable.
Is the holdup still about cable TV?
Yeah, but finally someone's coming tomorrow.
Okay, because I was going to say, if the holdup was just getting cable TV, move us in there and we'll get cable TV later.
Right.
I mean, it's very rare I would say that, but I would go maybe a day without cable TV.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So having said that, how long till we move into our new offices, our different offices?
Well, you don't want any of the stuff other than your desk, right? Or do you want all that stuff?
No. I don't want, if we're going to move, I want new furniture in there.
No, because there's been all kinds of stuff done on those couches up there.
Those couches have seen their day.
Right.
Yes, they have. So I guess just the couch, maybe a chair for Mike for now, right?
Yeah, I mean,
until we buy some furniture.
I can sit on a couch or a chair, doesn't matter.
There you go. Okay,
but where do I get this furniture? Well, I know that Mike had offered to get the furniture.
Oh, to buy the furniture?
Right.
For right now, why don't we just operate on the plan? We'll move the desk down.
Okay.
And we'll find a chair somewhere for Mike.
Okay.
I mean, I'll get together with you on that, and we can get that furniture in any way you want to do it.
Okay.
I said I'd pay for it.
Right. Well, I mean,
I didn't say I'd get it.
You have to kind of be around when it's being paid for.
What's that?
You kind of have to be around when it's being paid for.
No, you don't.
No.
No, you don't.
You can do that on the internet.
You want to buy stuff on the internet?
Well, I'll do it
Yes, Beth Ann.
I'll do it whatever way you want.
Beth Ann, don't be afraid of the big city. You know, that's something your daughter said to me. It's funny. Over the weekend.
Well, don't we get on the internet, get an idea of what it is. We pick out what we want, and we go grab it. It doesn't have to be, like, super fine quality stuff.
No, IKEA's fine with us, really.
No, I don't want IKEA.
Oh, really? You don't want
IKEA? Well, no, IKEA's got some. I want something that's, you know, kind of clubby. You know?
Well, like, what, excuse me? Like,
leather.
Like leather?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like we have leather, and isn't that leather that we have? But it's flesh-colored leather.
It's fake leather. It's salmon.
Is it vinyl or leather?
Leather. I believe it's vinyl.
I think it's leather.
Yeah.
Is it leather?
Yeah, I think it's
leather, but I want like a regular leather sofa.
All right, well, because whatever you like.
Leather, I don't want anything cloth.
Whatever you'd like.
Because if it's cloth, it's going to get crapped up.
I saw, anyway, I was going to say something about, your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, your daughter is friends with my son. You know, and I think that that's all they are, is just friends at this point. Right. So, anyway, Sunday night, right after the big fight with my wife and my son and everything, your daughter came over with my son, and I just wanted to mention, she seemed very nice,
mm-hmm.
and had mentioned something to me about, you know, not having a job or whatever it was, and, you know, I thought she's certainly a handsome, strong girl. She could
help move the furniture?
Yeah. I thought your daughter could help move the furniture.
Did we have an army of people that were all... I thought this was all done.
No, it's nothing's done. No. Nothing's done yet. Nothing's done. And really, I'm kidding about
you. Hey, B.A., you want to get, like, on the internet and, like, pick something out? Do that?
Yeah.
Will you do it that way?
If that's what you want. But again, you say, like, he says, anything, just pick something, and then I'll pick something. And I already know it has to be leather, not cloth. I mean, I'll pick something out, but maybe you should come here and look at it, though, when I gather it together.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Okay.
That would be great. All right. Did you ever get the impression that I didn't want to do that?
Well, I was just, no, I can't. You know, I need to, like, someone has to pay for it other than me.
No, I'm paying for it. I will give you all the information that you need to pay for it.
Okay. Leather, something firm, something with all attached pillows.
Oh, yes. I know what I was going to say about your daughter. The one thing, and you'll like this, is a compliment. The one thing I found with your daughter was that she was exceedingly nice to a fault, which you are as well, Beth Ann. If I had any complaint about Beth Ann behind the scenes, she's too nice. And I don't mean with us, I mean with other people.
Mm-hmm.
She's just too nice.
Well, it's a wonderful balance.
Yeah, well, I know it
balances all of us on the show, because there's so much hate that comes out of this studio.
Scorn.
It's the tide.
That's right.
She's like the perfect storm.
Yeah.
She's like the only good person.
Right.
And Buzz, you're a bad person, too, no matter what rap is.
I know.
You're a bad person, too.
Yeah, we're all just, we've been at it a long time. We're very hateful people.
We're all very bad, and you're very nice, Beth Ann, but really, get that office moved, please.
Okay.
And I'll be in, you know, whenever you want me to, even if it's today, to take a look at whatever furniture. We'll pick it out today.
Okay.
Beth Ann, two other things, very quickly.
Yeah.
First, did you talk to that person you were supposed to talk to?
I don't know which person you had me talk to.
The person, the person who's the friends of the guy? Or
I left another message. Because I was getting tape from Marty Bass.
Okay.
Again, tape.
All right. That's fair. And listen, see if you can work on this for me.
Okay.
The Madden 2005. Wow, you got a bad phone, honey.
Great.
I love it.
You got Madden 2005 comes out on August 12th.
You're talking about the video game, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Let me call you back.
We get overseas calls more clearly.
I'm talking to a woman.
She's in a room that's 8 feet away from us.
Right. No, literally, yeah, I'll call you right back.
Okay.
Literally, we could open the door and scream at her, and she could scream back at us. Hold on.
Clearer.
You know what, Mike? Carrie's looking to get rid of our couch. Would you want a secondhand leather couch?
No. Hi, this is better.
Top notch.
Okay, this is very self-serving again and selfish of me. But being as we worked it out with Lisa Joyner.
Yeah, you missing this little dialogue here?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You know, I mean, Johnny Yard Sales here.
I caught that. He's trying to say
his old
crappy couch to you.
Yeah, I'm a villain for saving you money.
Oh, yeah.
Spoken like a retailer.
No, we want a nice couch. Well, not that your couch isn't nice, but any couch that we had in our office that had been owned by you means you've been laying on it, scratching yourself on it.
Exactly.
You know, doing all the things.
He was sincere when he offered that.
I know he was.
Trying to help.
Would you like something that I've sat on for 12 years?
I'm trying to help myself.
Absolutely.
Great hot dogs and beans, Carrie.
Rip.
Have a seat, Mike.
God almighty, that's a traumatized cushion if I've ever seen one.
Imagine the nights after like 12 cans of Beck's, you've leaned over and just the regurgitation has just started to drool out the side of your mouth and it gets on the couch and the nooks and crannies.
How much would I pay for that couch?
We paid for fabric protection, as I recall.
Anyway, hey, Beth Ann?
Yeah.
This is like an impossible task.
Thank you.
Nothing to do with the show. Nothing to do with the show.
Okay.
The EA Sports game, Madden 2005, comes out on August 12th.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to have an advanced copy of that.
Okay, it's done. It's Madden 2005?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, here's exactly what I wrote in my notes for the show today.
Uh-huh.
Madden 2005, out August 12th. Where's mine?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not too much of a butt face, am I?
Well, you just gave them a commercial.
Where's mine?
What system do you want it for? The only
Xbox.
You know, with all the grief that you give me and Rob and Buzz here, you know, you do
But Mike, it's very small, and when I do it, it's for something like a video game that I would. Here's the difference.
Oh, okay. Here's the difference.
Yeah. I'll pay for the video game. I'll pay retail for the video game to be have to.
How
be
much
able,
is the video game retail?
About $50.
$50.
Oh, I'd pay retail and even a little bit more, a little service charge, to be able to have it. Okay. A couple of days before it's available.
So you don't count with all the grief we get about being whores. This doesn't count at all.
Oh no, I'm a whore today.
Oh yay!
No, listen, right. I'm a whore.
Welcome.
Call me H-O. You know, right. Or as Joey Pants would say, a whoa.
Whoa.
I'm a whoa because today I got my favorite TV girl to talk about.
That's not a whore.
That is a whore.
No, it is not.
That's me being a selfish whore.
No,
that's the worst kind of whore.
No, wrong.
Selfish.
That you could make, and if you made the case for that, that is not in any way, shape, or form. This is a lady, regardless of the fact that she's on in L.A., that's a hottie that people can see on the internet, that's on TV, that got on TV and gave us a. That was a perfectly balanced issue. She's media.
Mm-hmm.
That's a TV hottie. That does not count.
Then the fact that all I'm asking for is to buy a copy of the Madden game, the super secret game, doesn't come out for two more weeks.
Put the red light outside the studio with that one.
Cash value.
Yeah, you a whoa. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's the whoa move.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know it. You wrote the book on it. You know how to tell you. You wrote the book on it when you're trying to analyze our whoredom. You know?
I know. You're right. I'm a whore.
Hey, we love it.
Okay. Anyway, B.A., you know, that's like just my wild fantasy.
Okay.
Wow. Hey, B.A., now that I'm just after all that, I have to mention that I believe that the last time Don got him, he got him like...
He got two?
No, he got him, I think, maybe like the day they came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like it was like, in fact, maybe I have some memory.
It was
memory,
the listener.
I have some memory of you getting in advance. God, like,
I think I got it a day point. Early. Yeah. Some listener had a store somewhere where they were selling them. Mm-hmm. That's
just what I remember, B.A.
That's all I know. You know,
okay.
I'm looking at it. And, you know, here's the thing. I'm such a dope. I get the email from EA Sports saying, are you excited about John Madden 2005? You know, I'm reading it.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, right, like Homer Simpson. I'm going, yes, I am.
Sure.
Would you like to learn more? Yes, I would. Press this button. Uh-huh. Would you like a demo? Yes, I would.
Isn't there a competing game now that, like an ESPN game that's being offered?
Yeah, there's always...
I've seen, like, lots of TV commercials
There's an ESPN game. There's a Microsoft game. But nothing's better than Madden.
That's the best technology.
Nothing's better, and now they got stuff where you can move guys in and out of coverage. If you see three receivers going to one side, you can move the three defensive backs. It's got something called the hit stick this year.
Ah, what's that?
Where this is, if you're let's say you're Ray Lewis, you're a linebacker,
all right,
and you're running after a running back, you can gamble. If you hit the hit stick, you'll knock the snot out of him, and maybe he'll fumble. Mm-hmm. But also, if you go all out, there's a chance he'll juke around you and go for a 15-yard game.
I'm not going to get the Madden game, though. I'm going to get that new one that's coming out.
What's the new one?
Ricky Williams Reefer Bowl 2005. That's the one I'm going for.
Anyway, B.A., that would be great.
Okay.
That would be great. Okay.
Okay, bye.
So how is everything else going, you know, with the new job? We don't have you on a lot to talk about how you're liking it here.
It's probably good.
I know what it is about that your daughter said.
What?
I said on Sunday night she was over at the house seeing my kid, and Fred and I said, well, hi, Jennifer. How are you? She's a very nice girl. She's a sweet girl. Mm-hmm. And we said, how do you like it out here? And she said, oh, it's big.
Mm-hmm.
It's big. And she had a fear that I had seen in people that I knew in Wisconsin a long time ago. Her fear was that, I guess, when she starts going to school this fall, she's going to have to take the metro.
Yeah, she doesn't want to take that.
The subway.
Very
and
safe.
She was very nervous about it.
And so one of the best, really, it is one of the best in the country as far as clean. You know, clean. Yeah. And,
even though I think as far as like stops go, she's just got to go like one stop. She's got to go to Arlington.
No problem.
Stop. But so I wonder when I talk with her. I had wondered if you felt the same way, because you came to our show from where it was Butt Scratch, South Carolina, North Carolina. It was
Kernersville, North Carolina. Right.
So this is kind of the big city now, and she's a little wobbly about the metro.
I'm sorry, Dove was talking to me. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Excuse me. Dom was talking to you for 10 minutes, and you listen to every word he says, and I say three things.
Mike,
you know.
Hold on. Don't take it personally, Mike. Dubs walked in.
Oh, Dubs walked in.
You didn't hear what she said. Dubs walked in.
Okay, excuse me.
Hey.
The tattoo, I couldn't help myself.
Anyway, are you doing okay? You're happy?
I'm okay.
Oh, we might need some studio time with her.
Why are you just okay?
You know, it's I'm okay, you know. It's a learning curve, trying to get through, you know.
Yeah?
Some.
Uh-huh.
Trying.
Is there anything we can do?
It's not the greatest job you ever had?
Is it the greatest? I don't know.
Is there anything we can do? Can I get one of my questions answered, please?
Yes, Mike, go ahead.
No, because I don't care if there's anything I can do.
Oh, no.
Is there anything we can do, Beth Ann? Hello?
No, there's nothing you can do.
I want a sandwich.
But I do have to ask you, Mike, because I forgot to ask before you went on the air.
What?
Wait, was that your dig at her? Hold on a second. That was your dig at her, right?
Yeah.
I want a sandwich.
I was just being nice. I mean, you want that, Pam? What did you say?
Do you want tickets to the Orioles and whoever they play tonight? Tickets.
All right, here's a little quiz about the ABCs of me.
Uh-huh. Well,
who would they play? Beth Ann, who would they play tonight that would get me excited?
I think it's a Boston team. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Which Boston team?
Red Sox?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, very
good. That's right.
What about it?
Someone called me today. They have 4 tickets for you and a parking pass. They just want to know if you want them.
Tonight, no. Okay. But tell them thank you very much.
I will.
Thank you, Beth Ann.
You're welcome.
Is there anything we can do?
Isn't that nice?
Is there anything we can do for you?
The golden boy.
No, there's nothing I can think of.
All right, but you don't sound entirely happy.
Are you?
We're concerned.
Everything okay with the new job? We love you. We think you're doing a great job. Do you hate us?
No, I don't hate you.
You know, I know a restaurant that you could go to have, if you went out there, I would be willing to guarantee you would get yourself a free appetizer.
Thanks. Look around, cafe.
Okay, you called me a whore. We're at the end of an argument with our producer.
That was a joke.
Thanks. Look around, cafe.
That was a joke.
Yeah. Okay, so Beth Ann.
I'd pop for a drink, too.
You're okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So, all right. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay. See you later.
Wow.
There she goes. That's Beth Ann.
Right ride.
What?
$5 in Omera bucks. Yes, right now.
Up along.
If that doesn't put a smile on her face, what will?
Nothing will.
Can you imagine that?
As good as gold.
Okay. Anyway, that's the wonderful Beth Ann McBride, who obviously is feeling some of the pressure.
I guess of
working in this fire keg known as the Don and Mike Show.
Is there anything I can do to help?
The world's stupidest show. What, Mike?
Is there?
What? What was your question?
Is there anything?
I was just talking to J. Dubs. Did you say something to me?
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Did you want a sandwich?
Yeah.
Did you want a chicken sandwich today, Mike?
No, I don't.
Okay.
It's a really nice couch.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Our campaign's been broke for months.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Thank you very much.
Mom, will you go back to the hotel?
The Don and Mike Show. This you should not do. You should not call them Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I'm not a jacko. It's the best of Don and Mike with your old buddy, Rob Spiewak. Good afternoon, Bobby. This next segment, I think you're going to enjoy. You remember, I guess what, last summer when they had the Democratic National Convention in Boston? We make a few calls up there. Or do we? I believe there's some monkey business going on, some shenanigans. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Well, the convention, the Democratic Convention last night.
Yeah.
Here's what we have for you. We believe this is a Don and Mike Show exclusive. As we now call Boston, and I've been told we'll be speaking to CBS anchorman Dan Rather.
All right.
I'm going to dial this part so you can't hear the number.
Senior anchor of TV News.
And here we go. This should be at the convention in Boston.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Is this the convention? This is Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike Show, you're on the air. Hello, who is this, please?
This is Dan Rather.
Hey, Dan, it's Don from the...
reporting from the floor of the Democratic National Convention.
It's Don from the Don and Mike Show.
I'm hearing you over the delegates, but I can tell you with great authority, this convention is in a great deal of disarray. Hold on, let me step into a secret room.
Please.
Shut that door, will you? There you go. Hello?
Dan?
Yes, this is Dan Rather, CBS News. I've got many things to report about the disarray and the total dissatisfaction of the delegates with their candidate at the Democratic National Convention.
Really?
And I have many scoops and insights I can offer you and your... Hey, incidentally, is this Don?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I saw you on with that Lisa Marie Joyner this morning, man. That was slap darn funny. I don't mind telling you.
Something tells me this is not Dan Rather. I think I know who this is, but this ain't Dan Rather.
Hey, I tell you right now, this is Dan Rather, and let me step back out. I will put the phone back out on the convention floor. You want me to do that?
Yeah, please do.
Listen up. Can you hear that?
He's really there.
I do. There, man. I tell you, it's
crazy. I want to tell you. All right, I'm going to hang
up. What questions do you have for me regarding the Democratic Convention?
What are your feelings on John Kerry? Dan Rather, your impartial feelings on John Kerry.
John Kerry, the sentiment on the floor of the convention, even though they are Democrats, they feel that he is not qualified to lead this country.
Uh-huh.
He is not an honest man, and he has a decided lack of hygiene.
That's on. I'll call you back, sir.
About him. What? Go ahead.
I'll call you back, sir.
All right, goodbye.
Now, I think it don't take a rocket science, expert to figure out who we're talking to there.
That's right.
Okay? You know, that's W.
Right.
So, having said that, I hope we don't fall into the same trap.
No.
I'm now going to call, it's a different phone number.
Okay.
ABC News anchor, Peter Jennings.
Well, this will be entirely different then.
Yes, it will, Buzz. One of these will be entirely different, but it won't be this one. We're building.
ABC.
Yes.
Hello. Yes, this is Peter Jennings.
Peter, it's the Don and Mike Show.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. Give it to me again.
Can you go into the secret room?
Yes, hold on a second. Close that door for me, will you, son?
They won two.
Hello, Peter Jennings here.
Peter, hey, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Don and Mike, Geronimo and O'Mara down there in D.C.
Yes.
What a surprise to hear from you.
Peter.
It is truly a special time to talk with you as an anchor man.
How would you describe the mood at the Democratic convention, sir?
Hold on whilst I open the door to the convention floor. Hey, do you hear that?
There's no doubt he's at a
convention.
It sounds to me like...
But I tell you, this convention, everyone I have talked to, although they are Democrats, have indicated to me that they are going to be voting for President Bush. What a surprise is that?
That's a lot.
Shut the door. Shut that damn door.
Hello?
Can you tell me something, sir?
I have heard a rumor. They are saying that John Kerry smells like cabbage.
Let's play a quick game here.
Is that Buzz?
Yeah, I'm here, too.
I don't want to talk to him.
Who are you?
Sorry, Mr.
Pinko.
Jennings.
Hello?
Who are you?
I am Peter Jennings from ABC News, the anchorman.
Didn't know Peter felt that way.
Hey, George.
Yes, Don.
Oh, just answered.
I'm sorry. Who are you asking for?
Listen, I'm going to hang up, and I believe the next person we call will be Tom Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw or Tim Russert.
Either one.
Or anyone you need to.
Okay, thank you. All right.
It's a secret.
Bye-bye. Now,
you can try the NBC number if you like.
I know.
Just going to be him
jerk
again.
Around. And let me just say, it could be Tim Russert.
Right.
You know who I'm going to call, and I'm going to go off the script here.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Uh-huh.
From NBC, we talked about her enough today.
Oh.
Katie Couric.
She's there. She could answer.
All right, so now I'm going to call the NBC News booth where Katie Couric is. Let's speak to NBC's Katie Couric in Boston at the...
Hello, this is NBC News. I'm Tim Russert from the floor of the Democratic National Convention. Who's this?
I'm looking for Katie Couric.
Hold on just a second. Get you anybody you require to give you a report on the problems with the Democratic National Convention.
Is Katie there?
Oh, Katie, can you come over here, please? Hello? This is Katie Couric.
Hello? Katie, it's the Don and Mike show.
Oh, Don and Mike show. I'm a big fan of your show. I'd love to have you on the Today Show. Have you heard the news, Don?
What's
the Democratic
that?
Convention is in total disarray. They are having some real problems, and they all hate each other because they've chosen the wrong candidate for president. I am Sexy Katie, and I love the GOP.
Huh.
You know, how's George, about you?
Hey, can you go in the secret room for a second?
Hold on. Hey, shut that door. Hello.
Oh, hey, Katie?
Yes, this is Katie Couric.
Okay, all right, let's drop it. George, I know it's you.
You what?
W, I knew it was you from the first time.
This is Tim Russert. Can I help you?
Yeah. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Milk, lemonade.
Around the corner, fudge is made. How about you, Don?
Hey, W.
Yeah. Son.
I knew it was you, you son of a bitch.
We had a secret line set up so anybody that's calling for an update at the news organization gets me. I'm just here. I'm here and having a little. That's a sound effect. Look, I can turn this up. Turn on that party music. There you go. Now turn it back down.
I'm doing great.
So I guess you were not buying my ruse.
No, I was not. However, I do want to say, of the people that you did the mimicry of.
Yes, thank you. I'm a talented mimic.
Yeah. The Katie Couric was killer.
Would you like to hear some more?
A little bit, please.
Please.
Hello. I'm Katie Couric. I'm a pretty girl. Pretty girl. Take a look at my shapely legs.
All right, George, this is despicable. Goodbye. I'm going to call someone.
Pathetic.
Now I'm going to call someone who was really at the thing last
night. All right, Don, I'll talk to you soon. I'm counting on your support, son.
All right, I just want to. You got it.
Viacom deals.
Viacom deals.
There's one more person that we can call.
Well, I hope so. None of those worked out.
And I don't think this will be Bush, as we continue to call the Democratic Convention in Boston.
Good luck.
You never know.
Yeah, I like you too. If you'd like to do... Hello.
Hey, Bill.
How are you?
Don Geronimo.
Hey, Don, you got to come up here, man. It is wall-to-wall stink.
What are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing what I do best. You know, it's great being a private citizen and all this. This is... Oh, you're... Hold on. Can you give me just 1 second?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
You're lovely, dear. I love you, too. Yes, I'll sign it. I'll sign both of them.
Oh,
man. We're having a great time here at the DNC.
Hey, I got to tell you, Bill, we're on the air.
Oh, hold on a second. Shut that door. Shut the door. Hello. How are you?
You want to hear something funny?
It's a good year for the party.
You want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
We just said we were going to be calling, I don't know, Brokaw and Jennings. And
sure, I understand. Yes, and the major news organization.
Right. Kirk, you know what it was? It was Bush pretending to be those people.
Well, I understand he's a talented mimic.
Yeah, he does. He does a good Katie Couric.
He does. I've dabbled in mimicry myself.
Really?
Who do you do? Now that's
would you like to hear my impression of Hillary?
Who do you do? Yes, I would.
I'm just kidding you. We're having a great time. This is the Democratic National Convention, or as I like to call it, my personal grazing zone.
Well,
man, okay. I'll tell you, man, let's run down the hill. Let's not run down the hill. Let's walk down the hill and do them all. That's what I say. Can you guess what my blue necktie smelled like this morning?
Oh, dear. Thank you for your time.
I love you. God bless America.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I'm going to go back to the party right now.
Okay.
Yeah, he's off the line. Would I what? You bet I would. You bring the maple syrup, and I'll lick it right off.
Oh, dear.
All right, now, listen. Mike, you never believe this. You go to the bathroom, and we're on the phone with Bush pretending to be Rather, and then Clinton's on the phone.
Really?
Where were you?
It was amazing.
It took a little longer than I expected.
Be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I agree.
The Don and Mike Show.
Going to bed. And have some fun.
A couple of biggins. Don and Mike.
It's the best of Don and Mike. You know who loves this song? John Norman. Yeah. Doesn't like being my baby, though. The best of Don and Mike with your old buddy, Rob Spiewak. You're going to love this next segment, I assure you. He doesn't work here anymore, but when he did, Assistant Chief Engineer Wendell Hall was the best. He was an enigma unto himself, an enigma wrapped in a riddle, and he was always unexpected. Always loved to spotlight the engineers of the mighty WJFK. Spotlight on Wendell Hall on the best. I'm Don and Mike.
Wendell Hall is our engineer. He's one of our many engineers. Excuse me, let me... Wendell Hall.
Winner!
Now,
winner!
Wendell Shotgun Hall.
Winner!
Made it happen here in the studio today. There were some problems yesterday. I'm enough of a pro, you didn't know him. But there were...
You
have your studio configured in a much better way today, I think.
Yes.
Are you happy with where everything is today?
I'm happier today.
Good luck.
I'm happier. That's the voice of Wendell Hall.
Good luck.
And Wendell's the guy that did a lot of the work here to get the computer in the back where we needed and get the screens. And Wendell, I thank you for that. I thank you immensely for that.
You are losing a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stress.
And and Wendell, our engineer, also, as I mentioned the other day, no longer scares me when I'm online. Now,
good.
When I get the thing that says you've got an instant message from you and you've got a weird screen name, because he always writes, his first thing is always is something like, hey, don't be scared, or hey, it's me, Wendell.
Don't be afeard.
So Wendell was working here on the stuff in the studio and showed me some of the, you know, just it's interesting stuff between the engineers. Because they've got how many guys working on this studio, Wendell?
Well, it depends what day it is. Anywhere from... One to five.
Five being the top.
And still, and really, I was kidding when I said that, you know, you wouldn't know it, because I bitch about it a lot. I could spend a whole show bitching about how things just aren't quite perfect.
Right.
What? But,
no.
But they're good. But they're good.
I dare you.
They're good enough. Wendell, don't make me quote you, because you said you wrote some stuff in the IM on Sunday night about the quality of the studio. That, you know, that if it come from me about the configuration.
Oh, if I'd had my little way, it would be a whole rebuild.
Okay.
Which I completely agree with.
But we're not going to get a rebuild.
That's the only way to do it.
But here's...
You want to move by that, don't you? The idea of the rebuild. I mean, that really is the only solution.
Here's the thing. I'd love a rebuild. Mm-hmm. They will never do it.
Right.
Write it down. They will do it on the 12th of never. That will be when they will build a new studio for us. And for everybody else. I don't want to mean just us. I mean Ron and Fez and Hefe. We'll all be in the same crappy studio. Mm-hmm. So here's...
We only built this one 5 years ago. It's not done.
Wendell sends me the note. The part of it is when I was screaming on the air last week. You know, it's the stuff, they're going back and forth. It's Wendell with the chief engineer, the head engineer for the company, for this area, whatever he is. You know, let me see. Don is screaming about something. Alan took me aside today to complain Don wasn't happy because Rob is getting in his way with the touchscreens. And then Wendell gets a return from a guy named Jeff, one of the other engineers. There was a meltdown with Cool Edit. That's the name of the software this morning, blah, blah, blah. Here's the part that I found interesting. Two parts I found interesting.
Oh, man, way to give away the book title.
First, to this guy, Jeff, the engineer.
Uh-huh.
Let me say, when you're writing an email, you're writing a missive to someone, you're writing something to Tony and to Wendell, I read, and he carbon copies a lot of people on it.
Oh, yeah, it's the whole world.
You want to get your message across. If you're going to write the memo... The last paragraph, this is not how you want to start the last paragraph.
Okay.
Lastly, we need to develop a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. It just seems to me that it defies common logic.
You mean that should be the first paragraph?
Yeah, okay, urgent, there you go.
And one additional thought.
Yeah, and really that's how this memo, which I'm not allowed to read you the whole thing because it's confidential, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraphs of all this other stuff, and then... Lastly, We need to develop a sense of urgency.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should be lead with that idea. Yeah.
So here's the part.
The sinking feeling in the pits of our stomachs isn't enough.
Here's the funny part about Wendell and why I wanted to quiz him today. And he was gracious enough to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendell, are you okay with me going back to the other side? Voting for Kerry?
I know it was going to happen one time, someday.
Okay.
Yeah.
They write that there's a problem finding engineers when there's a problem with the computers here. Because, you know, typical Infinity, not enough guys, too much stuff to do. So the guy writes, everyone needs to have a cell phone. Wendell chooses not to have a home telephone and had a company cell phone until the service was suspended. It's now restored. I suggest adding one to the existing account so you both have phones.
Yes.
However, it's not unreasonable to expect an engineer who's on call as a part of their job to own a telephone. Wendell, my question to you is, and you are a total enigma, and I will ask you about your Hair Club for Men commercial in a moment.
Exactly.
Or whatever it is that you're doing, like the commercial I hear. Why do you choose not to have a home telephone?
I'm never home.
Don't you think it would be handy for the job?
Where do you sleep? At home. But I don't sleep then. I don't want to hear from anybody.
Okay.
When I had a wireless phone at home, and I'm not alone in this.
I'm not questioning you.
I mean, the percentage of Verizon's business has gone down from 51% to 45%.
I don't want to upset you.
From 2001 to 2003 of wireline phones. People just don't have phones at home anymore.
It's true.
Okay, now,
and for my part, I had a cell phone. What do I need a home phone for?
Mm-hmm, right.
Telemarketers? I can do without them.
So hold on, but the way that Jeff wrote this was, what caught my eye was, everyone needs to have a cell.
Mm-hmm.
Wendell chooses not to have a home telephone and had a company cell phone until the service was suspended.
Why was the service suspended?
They never transferred it out of Dan Ryson's name.
Mm-hmm.
And the bills were coming to him, and I guess they threw him away because he doesn't work here anymore, and he hasn't for 4 years.
Gotcha. But now, do you have your own cell phone with your own cell phone service?
I used to. Back when Dan was here, or when Mike Freeman was here, he had that phone, and I had my phone, and, you know, it was...
They were company phones, though?
No. I paid for my own phone.
Okay.
And, do you have a phone now?
No. Well, I've got the company phone that they didn't pay the bill for, and it got turned off.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're unreachable now?
Pretty much.
Right.
So how do you react when they send you an email saying that, you know, Wendell chooses not to have a home phone, or obviously you don't have a cell phone.
Same thing.
But then they write, you know, while we continue to live our life, we must be reachable. Our policy is every page is returned within 5 minutes.
Okay.
So how are you going to live up to this? Or are you going to be a rebel? Because I know you're a rebel.
Do you have a pager? Do you have a pager on you right now?
No, that got lost.
How to get lost.
Oh, hold on. That's in the memo, too. Hold on a second. Cameron called and paged Tony with no response. Wendell was paged for a problem yesterday and never responded.
No idea.
That's
impossible.
That is because his pager is missing. He is to be given a new pager today.
He would like a new pager.
The station will be billed for the lost pager.
So you're not out of pocket on that one?
I hope not.
Right.
But just for you, Wendell Hall...
How'd you lose the pager? I'm not trying to give you a hard time.
The clips that they sit in, when I get out of a car, it
pops
flips
off.
Out, yeah.
Right.
So for you, Wendell Hall,
securely.
Single successful gun owner.
Hello.
How come you wouldn't want to have just a phone?
Because I don't need a phone.
Because you don't need a phone.
Well, but what about, like, if you had a problem with some service or the battery went dead, wouldn't it be good to have a home phone as a backup?
If I'm not at home, what the hell is that?
Well, if you're at home and your battery dies and when you're sleeping. And when you wake up in the morning, you could check your...
That's why he has guns, though.
So if my battery dies while I'm asleep...
Right.
Then the backup is the phone.
Or the service. I think I'm arguing a very...
Don't get mad, Wendell.
I'm arguing a very logical point here. If you have a backup hardline...
Wendell, what if you have a stroke? What if you have a heart attack?
Then how am I gonna dial a phone?
It'd be of no use anyway. But if you, what I'm saying is, say this,
what if you were like,
I haven't finished the whole thing I was going to say. If the service is wacky, which it can be with cell phones, no matter how good the area is, then you have your hard line at your house as a backup, where even if you're sleeping, you can certainly retrieve a message.
I mean, if the company wants to put a phone in my home, then fine. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't care.
It's a luxury that you can live without.
Yeah.
Do you view a telephone in your home as a luxury or is it a necessity to work?
A luxury.
A luxury.
Mm-hmm.
Could they? Here's a question.
Hmm?
Could they IM you instead of calling you?
If I was online, but I'm not always online.
Mm-hmm. Not always.
Yeah.
Hold on, Robbie. Yeah, what?
Do you enjoy, in a way, being unreachable at times?
I'm not accustomed to it. I mean, for 4 years, I had my own cell phone that I paid for here to make it so the company could get hold of me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that cost me like $2,500.
Sure.
And
Was it one of those real big ones? Is that why it cost so much?
It was solid gold.
No, over that time.
Total.
Oh, okay.
Not bad over that time.
Over 5 years, or four years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, when we had just me here, when Mike Friedman left and they didn't hire anybody because it was urgent to, I wound up taking that phone.
Huh? We need to be urgent.
Yeah, well.
When we get around to it.
Yeah, remember. Lastly, comma, we need to develop a sense of urgency.
We need to develop a sense of urgency. So,
but it's nice to be able to not be reached, right, at certain times?
Sometimes.
Yeah. But, Wendell, you're an engineer, though.
Yeah, but that's part of the gig.
When something breaks, though, I mean, after reading this, I'm fascinated, as always, by you.
Uh-huh.
You're a puzzle that I can never seem to put together.
An enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in a tortilla?
Yes, you are. However, I'd have to urge you as a friend, you know, at least in this way, bow to conformity. Get a phone.
Why?
Because.
For a backup.
Because you need it.
For a backup.
Because one day, this crappy station we work in, really, it's really going to blow up.
Well, I live in the neighborhood. I look for the mushroom cloud on the horizon.
And if you have two phone numbers, if you have a hard line at home, you could use that, really, for your social life.
Why would I want a telephone for a social life?
Okay.
What, are you talking about calling sex lines?
Yeah.
I'm
saying, for example, you could give someone...
I mean, I know you've been separated for a while, Mike, but I didn't think you were that bad off.
No, that's not what I'm saying, but thank you for that, Wendell. I'm saying it's moronic not to have a home telephone for a backup, and also you could separate your business from your personal life.
I don't do that anyway.
All right, Wendell, here's the
assumption.
Here's the question. What if...
Mm-hmm.
Your place catches on fire and you have to call 911. What do you do when you got to call 911?
You go to a neighbor's house. You don't call from a burning house. You get out. It's on fire.
Yeah.
That's a good one from Rob. How do you order Domino's or Chinese food? How do you do it?
I don't.
You don't? Okay. You're living without. All right, Wendell.
So how long have you not had a home phone?
6-8 months.
So you had one.
Yeah, and it was no use to me. All I got was telemarketing calls.
Yeah, there's a reason that's escaping me right now that actually you should have a hard line. You should have a hard line in your house.
You should just have a hard line just because.
I know.
Just because.
More people are dumping
them. You can't order pay-per-views on DirecTV without a phone line.
There you go, Robbie. That's
how do you order pay-per-views?
Once again, well, as with the 900 numbers, I don't.
But you say you're never home. You're never home. I mean, I think that's an overstatement, don't you? I mean, you're home.
I'm home from time to time, but I mean, I don't spend an awful lot of time there.
I think I track with what he's doing in his own way.
Frankly, I'm here a lot.
He's Dennis Hopper for a new era,
mm-hmm.
for a new generation. He refuses to conform. He refuses to adapt, to assimilate.
But of course, if they said you need, you know, if the powers that be said you have to have a home line,
then fine, I'll go get a home line.
Right. So, I mean, it's not like a deal breaker. I wouldn't want anyone.
I'm
to
not
think.
On a crusade to get rid of. Phone.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want anyone to think you're being difficult.
what about your commercial that's currently running for hair plugs or for goo that you put in your hair?
Medical hair restoration, yeah.
How'd you get roped into that one?
It was Jonathan Westmoreland.
That's
a sales guy?
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who looks like James Carville.
Are you using the product?
Not yet.
What will the product entail? What will it involve?
Transplantation of hair from where it's growing to where it's not growing.
Oh,
hair plug.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And now, have you researched all of this and before you committed, or did they just throw you a check and say do it?
Now listen.
A check.
You didn't get a check. You're just getting the process for free.
I don't know just what's going to happen yet. I haven't.
Well, I mean,
you've done a commercial, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
the commercial says I'm going to find out about it, and that's what I'm going to do.
I mean, this is a compliment. You know, if they're looking for someone around the station, why the hell didn't they go to Rob? I
mean,
take a good look. He's bald.
That's right.
I mean, he's bald. I mean, I got a bald spot. You got a bald spot. Rob is...
And he had hair laser treatment.
Yeah, they could have just moved that.
Yeah.
It's true. Relocation.
All right, Wendell, so the story is you don't have a home telephone.
Right.
You're refusing to get one unless they absolutely push you on it.
I mean, if it's that important to them, fine. Whatever.
Okay.
But...
And lastly... Are you developing a sense of urgency?
I am.
Lastly.
Very good.
I am. Belatedly.
And as long as it's last. And one last thing here. Could you please, currently, the list for us, the handguns and other guns that you own now, What do you currently own?
Oh, jeez.
Now, even me might want to give us just a number.
How many you got, Wendell?
I don't know.
Under 50?
Yeah, under 50.
Uh-huh. Over 25?
I don't think so.
Really?
Under 25.
How many handguns?
Most of them.
Most of them are handguns?
I'm a pistol shooter.
10?
Probably. I mean, in 84, I took 14th place in the National Law Enforcement Explorer Pistol Championship.
Very good.
So,
very good.
And, but I've been a pistol shooter all my life.
Right.
How many rounds of ammo you got at any given time?
Oh, I don't know, thousands.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, the 22s come 500 to a brick.
Because you never know when you're going to need to shoot 500 times at somebody.
Well, they're just cheaper that way. It's like 10 bucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I'll tell you, there are a lot of people around here that you know, you say what you will about Wendell, that wouldn't come in here and subject themselves to this.
Now, you don't have...
That's what I dig about Wendell Hall.
You,
so you're saying
I'm complimenting you. No, I'm complimenting you because I'm afraid that you're going to kill me if you snap one day.
So you don't have a telephone, but you have internet. But do you have a DSL line?
Cable.
Cable modem. All right, so you got the cable modem.
So he's, phone company just getting nothing.
Nothing from you. Mm-hmm. Nothing from you.
Right.
All right, there he is, Wendell Hall, our engineer. And Wendell, really seriously, thank you for the help with the computer back there.
Oh, sure, yeah. Just, I mean, let us know how it goes. I'm sure there's stuff we're going to find that needs tweaked from
now. Well, if there's a problem, I'll call you at home.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah. Call him on his hard line.
I'll call you. Yeah. Okay.
Bring me right up.
All right, bye.
There he goes.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Wendell Hall. Wendell Smoot Hall.
Our engineer, Wendell Hall. Man, oh, man. One of these days.
Occasionally. Those kind of appearances where he's completely under control, those are the ones that scare me.
It's only because I warned him. I went up to him in advance and said, hey, thank you for passing along this email. Is it okay to read it today?
Why do I need a phone?
There's really no need for that. All right, but I understand that you're talking about it. You've been separated a while, Mike. And you're number one on my list. When I come in here with the guns, I'm going between your eyes.
Winner!
The whole notion, somehow he paralleled the notion of him should having him needing a phone to needing pornography.
What?
He paralleled his need for a phone to acquire pornography.
What?
He paralleled his need for a phone for needing pornography.
I can't hear you, what?
I'm going to be with him up on the roof in a minute.
We got a break. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Without us, you just think about that. We've been beat up pretty bad because of this publicity. But Meyer and I love each other, and we mean to keep it that way.
Jerry, looking ahead, don't you think your popularity will be diminished at home?
Back home, they take a different view of this sort of a thing. I expect a great reception when I get back there. My friends will understand.
Do you have any final words for England?
Yeah. England can kiss my ass.
The Don and Mike Show. They'll still be here after they thin the herd. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Make that the best of Don and Mike. And here's something for the guys upstairs. Hit it.
Have you heard? I'm doing my morning show at night.
There you go. Let's enter this third hour of the best of Don and Mike with one of my favorite features that Don and Mike do. Isn't That Something? This is, I believe, the debut of Isn't That Something with a surprise appearance by Regis Philbin. Think you're going to like it. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Story that even Regis was talking about today.
Wow.
And I keep telling Buzz he's got to watch the Regis show.
I should.
Only for one reason, because Buzz, like myself, is a fan of anything broadcasting.
Very
anything
much so, yeah.
TV, and I know you like finding the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yep.
There's a level of uncomfortableness that Regis has, that he had with Kathy Lee, which I interpret now as nothing but just pure hatred.
Right?
And what he has now with Kelly Ripa, who at times I've accused of falling into the Kathy Lee Gifford camp, like
the swimming in Lake Mead.
For instance, today when I was watching the show, leading up to the orange lady that we're going to have here on the show in a second, he says, so what did you do this weekend? Because they had the weekend off. And she starts talking about some Donna Karen party that she went to in the Hamptons. And right away, he makes no bones about the fact he doesn't care.
Right.
His body language says, oh, shut up, bitch. He just sits there. He folds his old man hands with his big, long, Andy Rooney-like fingernails.
Impatiently.
And just sits there and waits for her to finish. Now, the difference between, in my opinion, the difference between Kelly and Kelly Ripa and Kathy Lee Gifford
right.
is that Kelly Ripa, even though I think she's a little bit taken on herself, taken with herself, she's funny, and she is a good compliment.
Oh, she's much funnier than Kathy Lee.
Yeah,
that's not saying much. She's funny in her own right. She's very good for what she does.
So there are times when he's exasperated with her, and you know that there's a part of him where he's sitting there, and he's looking at her. She's done what Kathy Lee wanted to do. She got on that Regis show. She got her own stupid sitcom.
Right.
She's now making, if not more, at least the same amount of money
at
Regis,
yeah.
and the show's ratings have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to sit there and listen to all of this stuff where she's talking about going to the Hamptons.
Right.
And this was this morning on the Regis show. I love this show. So she goes on with this about the celebrities she's met and the things that their kids did. And he goes, all right, fine.
Well, then, fine.
And then he moves right to this. He says, hey, do you know who Margie Clark is? And she goes, well, I know my big daddy or Regis. Well, I know Regis. Well, she's a woman that's got an 83-year-old orange.
How about that?
What do you think of that?
Can you believe it? That's really something.
And he says, and I'm thinking, all of a sudden, I know, wait a minute. This is a girl that we're going to have on the, a woman we're going to have
an
on the
show. An old woman. Right.
Oh, hold on, Mike. We have breaking news. I got to take this call if this is true. Dave in Vermont. Dave? Dave?
Yeah.
Hello, Dave. Breaking news from Vermont.
Yes, your episode of the Lisa Remedy show's on.
The one where Don's a UPS driver?
Yeah, he's looking good.
Gotcha.
You're on in syndication. The checks should be rolling in.
Yeah. Those checks, those Babylon 5-like checks for $12 each are rolling in.
Another great performance.
Get out of here.
Congratulations, Don.
Thanks, Mike. I would watch King of Queens in our local area tonight to see myself on TV, but unfortunately, no station has picked it up.
No, unfortunately, not in syndication, no.
It's not here.
Not on. It's big in Vermont, though.
I get Will and Grace always. Uh-huh. Two shows I get, no matter what station I turn, Friends or Will and Grace.
It's all over.
Always.
Yes.
Always on. So yesterday morning, this morning, I'm watching Regis, and while he's telling Kelly to, okay, that's enough of the Hamptons,
right.
He just, no sophistication, no nothing, just, boom, how about this woman?
Yeah.
How about the lady with the orange?
And she says, what are you talking about? Uh-huh. He says, there's a lady in Oklahoma who's had an orange in her family for 83 years, and when she dies, and it'll be hopefully after we interview her,
yes,
she's going to give the orange.
Not before then, or
she's
during.
She's going to give the orange to her kids
uh-huh.
because it was a present from her father 83 years ago.
Yes.
The orange is very hard, and it's leathery.
And not orange-colored anymore.
Not anymore.
I doubt that.
And we're going to call this 80-year-old woman Margie Clark, and it's time for the Harry and Jeff show.
Mm-hmm.
Today's episode will be called Isn't That Something?
Isn't That Something?
What the hell are we going to say to this lady beyond Isn't That? And now we can tell her that Regis was talking about her today.
Right.
So, Rob, she's given her okay to go on the air, right?
She's waiting for the phone.
Right on.
Very good.
So here we go. Buzz, as soon as we get through to her,
gotcha.
I'll ask you to, I'll tell her I'm a technician or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can give us the lead-in with our theme song for the Harry and Jeff show.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, she's 80.
Takes a while to get to the phone.
Hello.
Hello, is this Margie?
Uh-huh.
Margie, stand by to be on the radio with Harry and Jeff. Okay?
What?
Did a boy named Robbie call you today to set up an interview to be on with Harry and Jeff?
Yes.
Okay. It's time for that show. Are you ready?
I guess so.
Okay. Stand by.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's the Harry and Jeff Show with your hosts, Harry Hitler and Jeff Dahmer. Now, here's Harry and Jeff.
Hey, thanks, Buzz. Hi, everybody. This is Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer, and this is the Two for the Road Show.
5 minutes until the hour. You got to be somewhere in 5 minutes. You got just 300.
300 minutes to get there. You got to be there by the top of the hour at 5 minutes until...
you are the mathematician. There's no doubt about that.
Listen, I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer.
And how many times have you heard something in the news and you've said, isn't that something?
Well, do we have something for you today?
Do we? Say hello, everybody, to Margie Clark.
Hi, Margie.
Margie.
Hello.
Margie's from McAllister, Oklahoma. She has an orange that is 83 years old.
That is really something. Isn't it, Margie?
Yes, it is.
can you tell us, ma'am? Correction. I said 300 minutes. I meant 300 seconds.
Ah, 300 seconds. 300 right. Minutes would be a much longer period of time.
That's right. My apologies, everybody. Speaking of time, now 4 minutes until the hour. This is Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer. I'm wondering now how many seconds old that orange would be. Because I know it's really something.
At least 60 since we've had Margie on the phone. Margie, you have an orange that's 83 years old. May I say something to you, ma'am? Ma'am?
Yes?
May I say something to you about your 83-year-old orange?
Uh-huh.
That's really something.
It certainly is. What's it look like?
Well, right now it weighs about a half ounce, and it's about the size of a lemon.
That is really something.
Isn't that something?
It's kind of blackish brown.
Mm. Wow.
Isn't that something?
Does it smell?
Oh, no. No, it's just real hard.
And now, you're going to give this to your children?
Yes, uh-huh.
Isn't that something?
That is really something.
Why are you going to give this to your children?
Why?
Yes, Margie.
Yes, while you're answering that, let me mention... Now, 3 minutes till the top of the hour. Captain Dan is back from his accident with the Harry and Jeff helicopter, the Eye of the Sky.
He'll help you get home on this busy afternoon on the highways and byways.
It's too much on this Tuesday. Hi, everybody. This is Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer. We're speaking with Margie Clark, who's got an orange that is actually 83 years old.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
It really is something.
Isn't that something? How, Margie, can you ever eat this item? Can you ever eat this orange?
Can I ever what?
Can you ever eat it, darling?
Eat it.
EAT, can you eat it? EAT, can you eat it?
No.
Isn't that something?
That's really something. What if you, like, soaked it in water overnight and rehydrated it? Do you think you can perhaps get the water back in it?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that is something.
Nothing was ever done to the orange to cause it to be like this.
Why is it that your dad, bless his soul, gave you an orange 83 years ago? Margie?
His sister gave it to him on Christmas Eve night.
Wow, that's something.
1921. 1921, that is one seriously old orange,
isn't
it?
That's really something.
My goodness.
That's something.
And,
say, do you know that...
It never did decay or mildew or anything. It just began to turn dark.
Isn't that something?
Do you have any other old fruit?
No. I've never heard of anything like this before.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Say, you know, I was watching television today. I'll tell you something that I heard Regis Philbin mention your name on his television show today. Isn't that something?
That is really something. Did you know that Regis mentioned you?
No, I didn't.
Yes, Regis mentioned you on the show. That is one old piece of fruit.
Isn't that something?
Regis Philbin?
Yeah. Yes, Regis Philbin. You know, he's got that show, Regis and Kathy Lee.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Would you be impressed if I was to tell you, this is Harry Hitler speaking now. Hi, everybody. It's nearly the top of the hour. I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer. How are you, anyway?
Would it amaze you to know, stand by for Jerry Todd? Yeah.
Jerry Todd will be coming up with some great video soundtracks.
Turning Japanese.
Japanese.
Would it amaze you if I was to tell you that I might be able to get Regis Philbin on the telephone right now here on the Harry and Jeff Isn't That Something show?
Isn't that something, Margie?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, let's see if we can do that right now.
I'll dial it up. I need, you see the number here? I need the other one.
Oh, okay.
I'm on this one.
Very exciting if we can try to do that.
I'll tell you right. right now. It's top of the hour. It's 5 o'clock on the east, 2 o'clock on the west. Of course, in Austin it's yesterday, in Dallas it's last night. I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer. All this talk about oranges wants me to remind you that it's not, of course, anytime soon, but coming up later in the fall, we will have the fabulous Orange Juice-tacular that'll be taking place early in the morning, followed by the fabulous Ardinger Pancake Breakfast.
Our show isn't that something.
Yes.
And today, Margie Clark. Margie, you have an 83-year-old orange?
Yes.
Isn't that something?
And does it taste good?
I'm going to try to call Regis Philbin right now.
All right, we're going to get Regis on the line. How about that, Margie?
Hey.
All right, let's do that right now. Very, very exciting. Regis Philbin, star of the Regis Show and that wonderful show, Who Wants to Be a Billionaire?
Sometimes a correspondent on the Harry and Jeff Show.
Very, very exciting as we're dialing up Regis right now, see if we get on the show. He's a part-time regular on the program. We like to have Regis on quite often. Very, very exciting. This is super as we're talking to Margie Clark.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's really something. It truly is.
Now a minute after the hour. Weed Wars tonight with Joe Ardinger here on Westwood One. Weed Wars. I'm dialing up Regis' hold number right now.
Hello?
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 Is this Regis Philbin?
Who's this?
This is Harry Hitler from the Harry and Jeff Show.
Oh, it's the fabulous Harry and Jeff Show.
Hi.
How are you, boys?
Regis, guess who's on the phone with us?
I have no idea. You've caught me by surprise. I was just stepping out of the shower.
It's Margie Clark.
Oh, the lady with the orange?
Isn't that something?
That is really something. How are you? Do you have the lady on the phone with her with you right now?
She's there. Margie, would you say hi to Regis Philbin?
Hello, Mr. Philbin.
How are you, Margie?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's quite an orange.
Yes, it's.
Isn't that something?
That's an orange. That's an orange that's 83 years old. I believe that's 2,617,488,000 seconds old. Isn't that really something?
It could be.
Why don't you bring the orange by the show sometime?
Now, Regis, yeah, I don't want you stealing our guests.
That's right.
We've got Margie exclusively here.
How
are you? Say, I don't know what happened to Jeff. Step down in the room for a moment. I'll step up. It's HH with HH.
That's a really old fruit.
It's a happy hour.
Reminds me of Rip Taylor.
Happy hour.
How are you anyway?
Happy hour with Harry Hitler.
How are you boys?
3 minutes after the hour, whatever you're doing, I hope it ends tonight.
Where's Jeff Dahmer?
Well, according to Jim.
How's everything going?
On ABC.
Hello?
That's really something.
That's great. How are you, Margie?
I'm fine.
This is Regis Philbin.
Yes.
Clock on the wall says we're about out of time for this episode.
How are you?
This is Harry Hitler. Harry Hitler.
Hello.
Say until next time. I want to thank you for your time and remember.
Hey, Harry, go eat one.
All right, it's together. It's so valuable. The current time, 3 minutes after 5. Thank you. Until our time is up. The next time we talk to each other,
hello.
It's been having you on the show.
Hello.
It's something when you have an 83-year-old orange.
Hello.
Regis Philbin, thank you for being on the phone.
What, are you hanging up on me?
Yes, we are, just like Dave Letterman.
Hey, goddammit.
And Margie?
Yes.
Let me say to you, hey, how are you, Margie?
That's great.
Let me say, in summary, about your 83-year-old orange, that's really something.
That is really something. We sure appreciate you being on the show, Margie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great afternoon.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye, then.
May I ask you if you've enjoyed your time with Harry and Jeff on...
Yes, I sure have.
Isn't that something?
That's really something.
Isn't that something?
Okay.
Aren't you super?
Hello?
Hey, Buzz, do we have a parting gift? Have a sponsorship? Have I put you on the spot?
Margie wins a juicer.
Margie, congratulations. We're giving you some type of a juicer.
Yes, you should be getting it soon. Thanks, Margie.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Hope you enjoyed your time on the show.
Thanks for being on.
Goodbye, anyway.
Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer.
And until next time. Right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Cue the announcer.
Thanks for joining us for Harry and Jeff's Isn't That Something with your hosts, Harry Hitler and Jeff Dahmer. Join us next time for the Harry and Jeff Show on the Westwood One Radio Network.
And are you still there, my dear?
Uh-huh.
Oh, she is. Hold on.
How are you anyway?
Hold on just a moment.
Wasn't that something?
Okay. Rob, don't be exceptionally cruel with her. She seemed like a pleasant...
She was a very sweet,
very
lady.
Nice lady.
Margie.
Getting a
Thank
juicer.
You so much for joining them. I hope you had a good time. We haven't any juicers, but if you hang on and get your address, we will.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Mary, have you seen Nicholas?
He's up in his room sulking, Dad.
Yeah, he's still upset because Abby threw out his baseball cards.
Oh, well, maybe I should make him a sandwich.
Oh, Dad, that's your solution to everything. Dad!
What?
8 is enough.
You know I love you, girls.
The Don and Mike Show.
They are not dignified. Don and Mike.
It is the best of Don and Mike on great radio stations all across America, courtesy of the Westwood One Broadcasting System. It is a system. Are you like me? Are you trying to lose weight? Get a pencil, get some paper, and get some diet tips from Mike O'Mara. It's the best of Don and Mike.
I even wrote this note in my...
You know, when it comes to diet, who's helpful around here?
Who?
Clementine Tran, who occasionally will bring some delicious cupcakes into work. Delicious baked goods.
Did you mention Clementine Tran?
Yes, one of my favorite people here.
Oh my darling Clementine. She does not even talk like this. She's from North Carolina.
She brings in baked goods. That's the contribution.
Oh my darling Clementine.
She don't come from North Carolina.
But she look like she should talk like this. She does not. Oh my darling Clementine.
Boy, I've been waiting for a minute. 2 weeks for her name to be mentioned on the show.
She's a good person. I like her a lot.
Very cool.
She don't need a diet book either.
She's somebody who's, you know, if more people were like her down here, we'd be okay.
It'd be fun.
Now listen to this. I'm coming in. Yeah! Coming in today. Yeah. I'm at a pretty major intersection, Route 50 and Route 123.
Yeah, very busy.
Very busy. Like, you know, 14 lanes of traffic all going each different which way.
Yeah, you've got a Fuddruckers, a Denny's, and a Rite Aid drugstore all within a few, you know. You can get sated in any number of ways from candy bar to grilled Cajun chicken.
So I'm sitting at the light making the right hand turn on red.
Yeah.
And
have you been to the Indian restaurant that's right near there?
The one that changes ownership every year and a half or so?
Very, very good.
Right.
Yeah, it's on the right, is it?
Bombay Bistro.
Bombay Bistro. Yes, very well received.
Isn't that like the, what's that Chinese restaurant? The Big Wong? Always used to, like, the health inspectors.
No, not this place.
The headline will always say, Big Wong closed again.
It used to be Alums, I think.
It used to be Alums, and now it's a very popular place for lunch. I've dined there at the buffet. They do something in India with chicken that is very special.
Yes.
They dye it like pink. I'm glad you're keeping it serious, Mike. I'm glad you're keeping it serious.
That's what I'm here for. That's my job.
That's my job.
Here we go. But you're at the intersection. I digress. You're at the intersection of Route 123 and Route 50 here in Fairfax, Virginia.
Hold on. That's a good question. Andy, go ahead. Yeah. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just curious if Mike's been tipping the bottle a little bit today. And, you know, it's, yeah.
Oh, is this another one of those days where I've had my kids all weekend?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that really what it is?
I think, you know, and yesterday...
But I was so mellow when I came in here.
But I was such a chatterbox yesterday because we only had 3 hours to do a 4-hour show.
Right.
But I barely let you get a word in edgewise, even more so than normal.
I think we should turn this around and ask the caller if he's been drinking today.
Have you been drinking, sir?
Oh, no, not yet.
I'll drink to that.
I don't believe that.
I have not had anything to drink today, sir, but I think you have to take into account the residual effect.
It's weekend drinking, and also Mike had his kids this week. You got your kids this week, right?
No, I said I bid adieu to my beautiful children, and but you get a little
goofy when you're you know, doing everything.
Sleep deprived. You're being the mom, you're being the dad.
Oh, the little one, yes. Elizabeth came a-knocking at 7:30, and I normally, you know, daddy sleeps till noon. So that makes for a very unusually early day. Get up at noon, and it's right to the Bombay Bistro.
That's
I eat carbs now, but I only eat sugar-free and fat-free carbs.
There you go.
That's good. I'm going to gain 12, 13 pounds.
Inside,
think how much you would have gained if you hadn't done that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Inside this radio station.
I ate toast today. I ate toast and potatoes.
Oh, my.
I just feel bad about that. I really do. I really do. At Friendly's with my kids.
That's okay.
Well, it's not like I ate an M&M pancake, which they had on the menu. God, that looked good. An M&M pancake. Yeah. I think that's a marriage of flavors that's just A-OK. Put the M&Ms in the pancakes for kids. It's off the kids' menu. They ought to put it on the grown-ups' menu. You know, the only difference is there'd be three of them.
Uh-huh.
Three M&M pancakes. How about three peanut M&M pancakes?
Hey, yeah.
How about that? I mean, see if you'd make it out the door with that. Kids, wait in the car. Daddy's got to go back inside the Friendlies.
Keep going.
What am I doing?
No, you...
I was just talking about breakfast.
No,
I felt guilty because...
The same thing happened a couple weeks ago. I'm all for this. For whatever reason...
I felt guilty because of the breakfast I ate today. Because we're talking... You know, you get me on the subject of diet, which has been very much in my mind. I'm always thinking about what I'm eating, believe it or not. I'm thinking about that. God knows I lead an unhealthy lifestyle in every other aspect of what I do as far as, you know, being out at night. But I'll tell you, when it comes to what's on the table in front of me, I'm trying to think about it a little bit more. And I just... I'm mad at myself because I ate toast and a couple of home fries today.
Harder with the kids.
It is. Well, yeah. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. And then 15 Reese's peanut butter cups.
Yeah, well.
Pancakes dripping with butter. And I like the maple syrup, just a little jelly, and Cool Whip.
That's low fat, the Cool Whip.
Yeah, makes them go down. We call them sliders. I know that's a name for burgers, but that's what
yeah,
I call
White
my...
White Castles, yeah.
You can actually, if you put the Cool Whip on a pancake, you can get the whole thing right down.
Full-size something.
Full-size
full-size pancake.
Full-size griddle cake.
Full-size.
Fluffy. No, Rob, not a ham. Not a ham.
Not a ham.
Rob always wants me to eat an entire ham.
Sure. So anyway...
Don't like ham.
How you doing? Have you thought about the South Beach diet?
Huh? I've read the South Beach diet.
I said that as a joke.
But I have it at home. I have all the books at home. Put them right in my kitchen. Looks good for
right
the ladies. Looks good for the ladies.
Good for the ladies.
Yeah, as long as the ladies don't see the secret drawer, you're all set.
And the secret drawer is?
Full of preservatives. Of every kind. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm fine.
I know you are.
I'm fine before.
You're funny.
Yeah.
No, you're funny.
I'm fine before.
Funny.
But the diet thing,
you're funny.
You know, I mean, you're very serious. You're much more dedicated than I am. But the whole diet thing gets me worked up. It gets me worked up because I'm thinking about it always. I'm thinking about it always. There's a new drug on the market now, too. Have you seen those ads for the new drug?
Pills?
It's a new diet drug. I don't know. It's a...
Of course it doesn't work.
It's a new diet drug.
It doesn't work. What did he write down?
Bob says that I have all my diet books on a shelf, and I use cake for the bookends. Rob gets into it, too.
Yeah.
Rob gets into it, too. You can tell. Right.
I love to diet.
Dieting.
I hate to diet. I'll say this.
I hate it.
I hate to diet.
You have an advantage over me, though, because I think you have a very... health conscious, a woman who's at home always.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt about that.
To prepare your meals for you.
That's no doubt about that.
That's a fact.
And I also look at it like this. Also, the hour that I get on the treadmill every day. And don't think I'm down there running 12 miles. I'm going to BS. Yeah, I got like 6 miles in an hour. Okay. But I think that's an hour where I don't have to talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
In my weird mind, that's why I go, here's the option. Sit down in the other room. There's a chance someone will call, someone will want to come talk to me. Something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that if I say, I'm going to put my headphones on and be on the treadmill for an hour, she won't bother me because she thinks I'm doing something good.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in that regard, you're right. That's the Frida factor paying off.
I think women by nature are healthier than men in that regard.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Of course they are.
My girlfriend
I'll tell you one
watches her weight all the time. She does the points. This is so many points, and she won't eat it if it's this or that. And meanwhile, I'm like, well, okay, if you're not going to eat that.
You know who really needs that South Beach book, though?
Oh.
Is your wife, Buzz.
Yeah, I know. Marcia. I've noticed.
As we heard on yesterday's show.
Your wife doesn't have to watch your weight.
No, she never has. She has great metabolism, right. And it just burns it off.
Then why'd you tell her to hold in her stomach the other night?
Because she was complaining about the way her clothing looked. And I said, well, you know, to get by, you'll have to suck that in a little bit.
And that falls into that category of
don't say anything. Just say you look great. I'm learning. I'm trying.
And if you're hot and you're out there, I mean, not hot like physically, but if you're beautiful and you're a cat, you're in a beautiful, expensive car, and it's a convertible, and it's a nice day, don't pick your nose and flick it out the window.
No, and when you want a snack, have a smoke.
I mean, it helps.
Yeah.
Models do it. I'm all right.
Who are you modeling for this week?
I am modeling for a company you might be familiar with by the name of Rochester.
Okay, was that the big intolerance?
Fabulous outfit. I've been trying for years. I always say, don't get the model looking guy. Don't get the guy that looks like Putty from Seinfeld.
Right.
Get me.
And you.
No. I'm a hand model.
We're gonna have to take a break here. You are goofy tired. You are good, and that's fine.
I am
that's
probably
great.
A little bit tired.
That's good.
I am a little bit tired.
Boy,
smack. I am a visionary.
Well, Mike, we have a guest coming up next.
Oh, is this the Playboy?
No, that's not until tomorrow.
Okay, well, I will diet tonight.
And tomorrow. It's just a phoner, so go ahead and knock yourself out.
Oh, I'll eat while we're doing the interview.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, boys. Hey. Hey, Mike, I want to tell you about a beautiful little cafe we have here in our downtown. They sell crepes. They have a peanut butter and Nutella chocolate dessert crepe smothered with whipped cream.
I'd make it if you could substitute the Nutella, because I'm not a fan of the Nutella.
Nor am I.
Really?
No, if you could, maybe you could actually, I've got it already.
Okay.
Substitute solid milk chocolate.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I'll do it right away.
Thank you.
Are you ready for a surprise?
Mm-hmm.
That fellow that you just had the nice conversation with?
Yes.
Calling from Sacramento.
Shocker!
We'll be right back.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
I like to stuff a jelly donut with Reese's peanut butter cup, then put it in a warm oven and let the chocolate and everything melt into the dough.
How about peanut butter and jelly on a chocolate-covered graham cracker?
Mm-hmm. With thin layers of banana on top. Mm.
The crones, they got chocolate-covered orange wedges. The juice just dribbles down your chin.
Junior, could I have just a drop of honey in this, please? Just a drop.
The wedge of the actual fruit is covered with that thick, dark chocolate. You know?
Oh, boy. Had the right to stuff one of them in a donut.
WPGC.
Do not drink any alcoholic beverages. Do not eat butter, margarine, oils, lard, or fat of any kind. Do not eat fried foods. Do not eat bread. Do not eat bananas, grapes, watermelon, or any fruits other than grapefruit or cantaloupe. Do not eat spaghetti or macaroni of any kind. Do not eat pizza. Do not eat popcorn, potato chips, or pretzels. Do not eat puddings or custards. Do not eat ice cream, frozen custard, or frozen yogurt. Do not eat cookies, pies, cakes, pancakes, waffles, or any baked goods. Do not eat chocolate, caramel, fudge, nougat, nuts.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I want to share with you something that happened here today. I did what is called a satellite radio tour. And it's kind of fun. You go in the radio studio and put on the earphones, and they patch you in via satellite, in this case, to 10 different radio stations in Boston and Chicago and Washington and St. Louis, all around the country. And I got to two guys in Washington, D.C. on WJFK AM. They're on the air there from 3 until 6, and they're also syndicated to about 40 other radio stations. So it was a good shot for us, you know, to promote this show. And their names are Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. So before we started, they were testing the satellite to make sure that they could hear me back in Washington, and I could hear them in Southern California. And here's what I hear in the earphones. Channel 44, no good. Channel 42, no good. Channel 46, no. Screw the satellite, we'll do the phone. And and then you hear one guy say, you know, here with our technology, we're on the verge of the door to the 21st century, and the door is locked. They're very funny guys. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. They've got a campaign going on in D.C. on their radio show, which is called Turn Off Your Television Sets. And judging by some of the ratings there, this campaign is having enormous... Howdy, folks, and welcome back, everybody. I'm Tom. We're back on live tonight, so the toll-free is up and running, and the color cast is on the air now for the 12th of November, 1997, CBS Radio and Television here in Los Angeles, California. You know, if today, if we were living in the year 1913, today's date would be 11-12-13, but we're not, so it ain't. Anyway, today I did a little thing called the Satellite Radio Tour, where Tom talks with guys and gals on different radio talk programs around the country. And I was chatting with Mike O'Mara and Don Geronimo from WJFK FM in Washington, D.C. And their motto there, by the way, is WJFK, less BS. So I'm sure that Jack Kennedy up in heaven is saying, well, it's the station with less BS. And I had an email that ties in with Don and Mike in Washington. A lady wrote in here, a family wrote in, they said, you know, Tom, every night we see you at the show there, you open the show with the wide shot, and we see the gold vase at the base of your chair. For heaven's sake, what is the gold vase? Actually, the gold vase is a spittoon. And what's in here, you see, I take a little breath mint between the office and coming down here to the studio, just in case I want to plant one on a female guest, you know what I mean? And then right before the show starts, because it's not polite to talk with mints in your mouth, we have what is called mint spit, in which I spit a mint into the spittoon. See, it is. So one day, this guy Geronimo and Mike are in here from WJFK. They came out for the big primetime tour, where they got to talk with the CBS stars, and the lady who gave them the tour, they said, would you like to see Snyder's studio? And I said, well, we'd like to see, yeah, where he does the show from. They come in, and they come over here, and they see the old minspit. And one of them says they took a handful of these and put them in their pocket, and were passing them out on the plane. Oh, jeez. Strange things on the radio from WJFK, where there's Lash, B.S.
The Don and Mike Show.
They whore it like bitches. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You know, Don gave me one of those mints. It was delicious. It tasted Snydery.
No,
it's the best of Don and Mike. Moving on, let's keep the focus on Mike O'Mara, shall we? Yeah, I thought you might want to. In the last, we talked about Mike's dieting. Now let's talk about Mike being late to get his car inspected. Also, we'll talk about Don's herpes. And the Larry King tapes, we'll call our esteemed ex-general manager, Alan Linewine. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a good mishmash, and it's the best of Don and Mike.
Got my car inspected.
You were late on that. Yeah, I think it was tough to understand what the guy was saying, but he was saying something like, I was so late that they could have said,
yeah, right.
You're too late. Is that...
Didn't Joe tell you that?
What?
Joe came...
No, Joe, I think somebody in the parking lot saw it and observed it and passed it along to Joe. Or was Joe the one that was the hip guy?
No, Joe... Hi, can we talk to Joe again, please?
Yeah.
Joe said to me... Hey, hi, Joe.
Hi.
Hey, it's Joe, everybody.
Joe
said to me, I don't know, how long, was it 2 weeks ago? You're down there smoking a cigarette and just staring at the cars, and Joe said to me, hey, Don, you realize your license tags have expired. You're missing the sticker. And Mike, he doesn't have his inspection done.
My inspection was late.
And do you know that, Joe, yes, I went out the very next day and found that sticker and put it on my car the very next day.
And so did I the very next month. The next month.
Did you, here's my question, did you tell Mike the same bit of news that you told me?
Yeah, I think you did, right, Joe?
What news?
That Mike's inspection sticker had...
Joe, try to pay attention to the conversation.
Hey, you told him. Okay.
Just looking out for my favorite radio personalities.
That's good. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
What I didn't know, because it's been so long since...
Bye, Joe.
Bye.
Since I've gotten an inspection, it had been so long. I didn't realize there's like a guy that puts on a monocle and it has like big high boots
and just folds his arms and walks around the car just going,
That's the inspector.
I don't think
that's the inspector, and then he sends me on my way. He had a riding crop and everything. And
said, I don't think you went to the right place.
And then they said, they said before they did it, they said, are you ready for the inspection? And they said, bring out the inspector. And the inspector came out and viewed the car.
Hi.
Sent me on my way.
Hello. Hi. This is Wolfram Juretzek.
That's who it was.
From Germany.
From Germany, he was.
Never forget the Don and Mike show.
Right on.
But he put my sticker in crooked. They do that.
I lived through a year of that, and I want to thank my guys at the Exxon. They're the coolest with lining it up and making sure that the blue sticker is next to the yellow sticker. They're the best.
This particular gas station I went to, I think, may have been a front for some sort of other activities.
Well, Mike, call the authorities.
All those signs
on the highway now saying, see anything suspicious? Right. Call whatever the tip line is.
Call that number. A lot of driving going around, a lot of in and out of with different cars and different people and lots of sunglasses and eating of foods that seem to be from far away.
Out of counters?
Like that's not everywhere in America.
Out of Tupperware. Some sort of food stuff.
Mike, I would say,
to be from the mountainous regions of Afghanistan.
Go through this radio station and you'd find much the same.
Just at the front desk.
And more.
That's right.
Anytime. The worst thing that ever happened to me with a sticker is the one that you have to put on yourself, the county sticker.
Yes.
I was putting it on in the wintertime and I had the defroster on.
Mm.
And as I went to go back there, the blower blew it up to the top and it stuck flat right in the dead center of my windshield.
Did you leave? You had to leave it there, right?
Well, no, I scraped it, destroyed it, and went and got another one.
Okay.
Yeah. I've lived a year with the horror of not having those two stickers, your county sticker, your inspection sticker, right next to each other. And those guys,
I can't find my county sticker.
And my ex, you shouldn't be saying this on the radio.
No, I have it. It's in my office.
You shouldn't be saying this on the radio.
Okay.
I'm just telling you.
Oh, cuff me. Someone just pulled up outside.
Mike,
you're going to jail.
Goodbye.
Well, it's all about paying your taxes. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Yes, but you have to have the sticker in your car.
I know.
And
well, you are like in turbo anal when it comes to your vehicle. You could eat off your car. I'm not quite the same as you are.
Mike, it has nothing to do with. And you're right. I do like my car to be clean.
You get out of your car and on the way in, you always stop to a little, you know, and take the elbow.
No. Here's the thing. I learned my lesson. John Q. Law, I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. If I got to have that blue sticker on my car.
Oh, I am too.
On the license plate. I mean, I had it on the license plate the next day, and it was killing me that I was driving around without it.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, don't think that.
Well, but the sticker I got today is far more significant than the other sticker.
It is.
That's the inspection sticker. That's the inspection sticker. Because the other sticker I had, I won't give you the dates that it had on it, but the other dates, that's driving around with an invite. That's like saying, wait, because there are a lot of cars that don't have, that are new cars, newer cars, that don't have the county sticker yet. You can drive a car off the lot, and if you have a brand new car.
I understand that.
But if you have the dates, which the old inspection sticker, that's an invitation.
Are you driving around right now with a sticker that's expired?
No.
Oh, okay. Then no problem.
No. But we're talking about the two. I don't have the other one, you see. I have one sticker that says my inspection sticker. That's what I have on.
So you don't have your county sticker.
Yes, but I know that I have paid my taxes, and that was that's the issue. And I will get the other. But do you not agree that the dated inspection sticker?
Here's all I know.
Far more of
a. Here's all I know.
An alert to John Law.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Well, now that I'm talking about it, I'm probably in terrible trouble.
That's right. I mean, John Law's probably.
I probably won't make it home this evening.
John Law's probably.
And I know friends of mine in the you know with the proper authorities that right now are hearing this are probably going to just drop by.
That's why I was just, you know, ixnay on that, on saying that you don't have...
Officer Harris will probably come by and, you know, with his motorcycle and be out there, you know, dangling his cuffs as I go out to my car.
You don't have the
I'm just asking
stickers.
For it. What am I doing here?
I know, I was trying to help you.
Don't say
that you don't have the stickers and then don't say...
Well, I do.
Well, I've got the one, but
this
not
was all
the other
prepared.
One.
This is prepared comedy. I wrote this on my way in today. I penned this little sketch.
Brilliant. Oh, good. So, never mind. I was going to ask, is your windshield in on the bit?
However, when Joe alerted you, you had, I think in order of priority, you had the most dangerous mistake by not having your current tag.
Yeah.
Because that would be number one, because that's when they look at the license. They pull you over for that right away. They don't always catch the sticker in the window, but they sure catch if you've got expired tags.
But also...
So really, on the scale of things, mine was a lesser event.
But if you...
Mine was only 2 days late.
Yeah, I was a month late.
And the safety inspection is really for your own safety.
Shut up.
Sit in the corner.
Robbie, just...
Shut up!
You're not helping the situation.
All right, I'm not going to get into the whole thing I was thinking, though.
Okay, why? What?
Because I'll make people mad.
What are you thinking?
The fact that this state is very similar to, like, certain Soviet bloc countries.
Yeah.
The state of Virginia?
Oh, my God.
Let's not start it, because there's other states that are similar.
Well, I'm sure there are. It's just, yeah. I mean, you have to have, you know, I mean, everything.
I know, you got to have all your stickers.
Yeah. You just have to do this, do that.
Right.
Pay the money.
Right. It's crazy. Yeah, see?
Say hi, John. Yeah,
hi there.
I've got a like-minded individual here.
I drove around on dead tags for 6 months. They were so dead, they weren't even in the system anymore.
Wow. Everybody's confessing that.
That's cool.
Welcome to Don and Mike's Confessional. That was John Normand, incidentally.
Thanks for giving his name, Mike.
And here's Joe Artinger again.
Joe. Virginia is not a state. It's a commonwealth.
Oh, a commonwealth. That's right.
So that has a lot to do with the politics of the state.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Isn't it nice when Joe comes in with an intellectual fact?
Sure. As he's, like, slowly picking the chicken out of his teeth.
Like he's in here playing Jeopardy or something. Right.
Joe just in from the House of Burgesses to let us know.
With his powdered wig on.
My lord, my ladies. Bully. I come with news from 6 blocks yonder. I should tell you that Virginia is not a state. It is a commonwealth.
Where's that bell, Robbie? Where's that?
Order! The distinguished gentleman from the state of Virginia would like to inform the other gentleman who moved from the great state of Maryland that Virginia is indeed a commonwealth.
Order! It would be...
Order! Forget it! I'm halfway home! Let the dude from the Labor Party speak! Hey, Mike! It's a commonwealth! Forget it, it's halfway expired. Artinger here.
I just, you know, I felt that way today, and I feel that way occasionally.
The man.
It's just there's a lot. I mean, everybody's watching you.
Yeah. We all do. Oh, yeah. Tell me. Tell me.
It's true. They're all watching us.
I want to ask something here about watching. Have you been polite with me about my lip today?
Today it was not a factor.
What about yesterday?
I was polite with you yesterday.
Were you polite with me yesterday or today about my lip?
Frankly, I didn't even notice.
Rob?
I just noticed it today.
Okay.
I didn't see it yesterday.
Thank you. First, I'd like to announce...
Wait, hold on a second.
What?
Rob.
What?
You didn't see it yesterday?
I swear I didn't.
Nor did I.
Mike, no, here's why I bring it up.
Okay, I'm out.
No, Mike, hold on. Right. See, will you...
Today it wasn't a factor. Yesterday, no. You know...
These guys are not just kissing my ass. Yesterday, it hadn't started to scab over yet.
Yeah, I could what not I tell you blood. That yesterday... Well, today was... All right.
Today,
I accepted it, but yesterday I was... And yesterday was the last day.
My lip and my chin, both. I got... And I'll tell you what happened.
Yesterday
here.
Was the last day I was going to... Bring that up.
Oh, because I had the whole Frida thing.
You were having a day. I wasn't going to pile on.
Well, listen, there's a lot of brave people out there. I want to say I have herpes. I have herpes. And there's no better time or place to say this. I have herpes. I'm a carrier.
Kiss me.
I'm a carrier. And unfortunately, I've kissed all of the items that you've touched.
Ew! You got the creeping crud, honey?
I do.
It's just on the lips and nowhere else, right?
Well,
is it simplex?
It might get complex. And thank you yesterday for not bringing it to my attention, because normally...
Well, no, I mean, I knew you were aware of it.
Yeah.
You were licking it.
And today... You know, of all things, Shondell
who I've mentioned is just lovely.
Very lovely.
You know, lovely in a, let me just say, she's a lovely flower in an otherwise dying garden.
Striking, really.
She worked here at the station. Anyway, she...
Yeah, well, I'm hoping they do some fall planting.
She came by and she said something like, oh, you really seem to be happier. You seem to be in a good... Because I had indicated, you know, I'm really enjoying work. And the whole time that she was having this discussion with me, I knew she was just staring at my lip.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it. And
maybe
it's
not.
Like, no, I'm positive, Buzz, because she looked, and then I did that thing where you kind of put my mouth like this, like, yeah, how you doing, Sean Gell?
I mean, Rob, she didn't notice where you were looking.
What do you got?
I'm Anita Horgoff.
Buck melanoma. Wally Russell's wart.
Now, I'll tell you what happened.
That's the wrong tape.
I'll tell you what happened. I enjoy getting on the treadmill.
Right.
And, you know, we've all talked about our battle with the bulge.
Right.
And I'm down now to the 215. I'd like to get down to 200, but at one time I was like 280. So I feel good, and I run every day on the treadmill.
Would you mind, before you go on with that, would you mind telling us what your name is?
Okay. My name is Don Geronimo. Joke's not so funny now, Mike. Let me just say.
He's laughing.
Ouch.
It's on your lip, though.
Well, that's the only place you can see it. It's on many lips.
Oh,
God. My real name is Mike Source.
Oh, Jesus.
I was not even hoping to have to bring this up on the air.
Right.
I enjoy getting on the treadmill and doing my running. And when I run with the iPod and I get the music. And you get in that groove. And for me, that's the only way that I can actually get off my big fat ass and exercise.
I'm going to take that suggestion.
And what I do is I run and I run and I try to run 3 miles a day. Now, a lot of you
don't watch TV when you're running?
No, just music.
Just the music. Okay.
Just the iPod does it. And what happened was, because I am just a retard. Klutz. I was running, and now I'm not running at a great speed, like at 5.3. You know, for those of you on the treadmill, 5.3 miles an hour, it's enough. You're going like this, but you're not driving yourself crazy. Anyway, whatever the song was that came on, oh, I know it. It was Everlasting Love by U2.
How long do you go at 5.3?
I don't know, 20 minutes. And then
you don't like do a minute on, minute off?
No.
Steady 5.3?
Yeah, and then...
That's a good jog.
Yeah. Then you slow down a little bit, then you do it again.
All right. I usually do a minute on, minute off. That's great.
So anyway, I'm doing this thing, and the song comes on, and it's right at the time when I'm just...
I was going to say, it's a minute on 5, and then a minute lying down.
So this song comes on, and... I'm so into it that what I do is I'm running. It's like, everlasting love. Yeah. I shut my eyes, and everlasting. And the next thing, I'm not kidding you, I'm tumbling off the goddamn treadmill and cracked the left side of my face against the corner of the wall, because the treadmill is backed almost into a corner.
Right.
There's just enough room on the left side and the right side to mount it, as it were.
Oh, you mean so you just smashed your lip?
Yeah, what happened?
It's not herpes?
No, it's not.
Oh,
Mike.
Well, it's not funny anymore, then.
But, Mike, it's just a cover story because,
the falling part.
Because my name's Don Geronimo.
Now that I'm looking at it, well, it's not like a little thing. It's like a big, like, scrape.
No, it's a gash. It's an open gash.
Right.
In my upper lip, my upper right lip. And then...
You sure you're not creating a cover story for the cover story?
Yeah, right.
Are you sure that...
My name...
Perhaps that...
I'm a friend of Mike O'Mara's.
Okay. But what I was suggesting was that maybe over the weekend, you know...
Oh, with Frida?
Yes. Maybe during the weekend, she gave you like one strong right hand.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. If that happened, we wouldn't have had yesterday's discussion. We would not. I'll take a lot, Mike.
Right.
But the day she hits me, that'll be the day that I leave her. The day that my wife... Thank you, Rob.
Are you experiencing any pain with that lip?
No, I'm just conscious of it. And so I split my lip open, and then also my chin. Can you see right up in there?
Yeah.
Down here a little bit, and also cut myself down here.
Wow. Right.
Quite a tumble. Anyway, the world's greatest athlete, that's what happened. And thanks for not bringing it up yesterday. Oh, and about Frida. Hold on. Here's somebody who did the same thing. always make me feel better when there's a stupid person just like me. John?
Yes, John.
John?
In the middle of a Nautilus, crowded people, lots of people, closed my eyes. Different song, same results.
Well, at least mine was in my basement. I wasn't.
Yeah, but I didn't have herpes.
I would imagine if you did it in a health club, that would be highly embarrassing.
That would be bad. Do let me tell you about the greatest thrill ride of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You must be this tall to ride, and it is now closed. The mood swing has officially closed.
The mood swing is back to normal.
Yes.
I wanted to ride then.
All seems back to normal. All of a sudden...
You got one at your house, don't you, Buzz?
Yeah. I do. Someday, perhaps, Buzz would like to tell you. I know that Buzz has told me off the air that the one that I have apparently is a low-level one.
Oh, really?
That they sell bigger and better ones.
They're bigger music. I know Rob's got one.
Mild. It's called the Matterhorn. Come on by.
Mild rides and wild rides.
There you go.
That's fantastic. I think everybody at one time or another has one in their house.
So anyway, things are back to normal. And one of the things that my wife...
I moved into a new house that doesn't have one. I better stop.
Right. One of the things that she had been on my ass about was moving furniture.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm not opposed to the physical labor. I'm not a fan of it, but I'm not opposed to it.
I am.
And what we want to do is move, what she wants to do is move furniture from an upstairs bedroom to a basement bedroom.
Oh, like this guy.
This is what we were going to do. We were going to get a guy. As a matter of fact,
I got the. Because I have a good guy though.
Because Frida called Carrie, and Carrie's got a guy that's Rob's wife, and you know those lines are warning. So anyway, it went from us having a guy that was going to come over and move this stuff to when she was mad at me. I have no idea how to properly take this bed apart, this gigantic bed, which is, it's got the box spring and the mattress are kind of attached to the actual bed frame itself, at least the bottom part of the bed. It's all in there together.
So it's not like a frame. It's like an actual piece of furniture.
Right.
That holds. It's an old-fashioned design.
So I'm looking at this thing, although it's modern, and let me tell you, Rob, we've been paying anything but modern dollars for it. So I'm looking at this thing, and I said to her, once we got past all of the problems over the weekend, she said, well, why don't we together try to move this furniture?
Mm, okay.
And I said...
I mean, I'm hearing this after the weekend you had.
Yeah.
Moving furniture with your wife. I mean, even I remember that's a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah. It ended up, I think, being funny. She's not mad. What happened is we get this giant big ass mattress box spring. Looks like a box that Lincoln was buried in, this thing that we finally managed to push on its side and without getting real technical about where I live, the house I live in, it's hard to explain.
Were you going downstairs or upstairs?
Going downstairs.
All right.
There's a lot of narrow doors, and there are narrow hallways, and the way that they originally got this piece of furniture up into the upper part of the house was they actually brought like a mini crane inside and lifted it up through...
And then slid it through the stairwell.
Double windows in there? No, it's right through the stairwell.
Oh, you mean through the stairwell?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I said to her, this is what these guys did. And she said, we can just do it. So, we started to move it, and it looked like it was going to get stuck. And then she said to me, here's what I want you to do. Get behind this thing and pretend like it's a blocking sled. And what I want you to do is put your weight into it. Come on now, Mr. Workout.
Oh, my God.
Put your weight into this thing. I want you to push this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait till I say go, and then just push. So, okay. One, two, three, go. And I go, and the thing moves about 6 inches because it's so jammed in to the door frame. It's too big to get out. I don't know how they got it in this room to begin with. And while it's moving, it's 6 inches. And meanwhile, I'm back there pushing as hard as I can. I hear, and she says, stop, stop. So we stop. We look up the entire ceiling. It's got an 8-inch strip where it's just caked. It's just
another gash.
It's a big gash
carved right into the drywall.
And as you enter the bedroom, at one point, there was a light switch on the wall.
Right.
The light switch was just broken clean off, and the faceplate was also broken clean off.
Oh, my.
So now there's just a hole in the wall.
You're destroying your house.
With wires coming through, and here's the best part. Once we decided that, we better stop, we can't move it back.
It's jammed in the door?
It's stuck.
Oh, my God.
So now if you come to my house to get, if you go upstairs to get to my bedroom or our bedroom or our bathroom, you have to go through another bedroom and through a bathroom and then through another door and walk around through the computer room because there's this.
Did you try banging it low so it could maybe diagonal the thing a little bit?
Here's how we left it.
Okay.
We left it that maybe the movers should just figure it out. And the movers.
You don't think they broke it down and constructed it
again? Oh, I'm sure they did. I'm quite sure they did. And I pointed out to Frida, this is why I'm not your handyman type.
Yeah.
You know, that I am not good at stuff.
I don't have a lot of guys, but if you ever need a good guy, I got a great guy.
I'm not good at stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And all I know is that when she said, push as hard as you could, I pushed as hard as I heard. Yep. Good. I heard the scraping, and the next thing you know, there's a big gash in the ceiling, and suddenly we need an electrician now, too, because we're missing a light switch.
Right.
And now this big, gigantic half-bed, half-mattress, half-coffin is just stuck. It's just stuck. And my wife is at work today, and
my buddy Stevie would help you out. He would. He sounds like, who's that? Who's that has-been comedian? The New York
Tim
guy.
Allen?
Guy we went to see. I got a mental block.
Andrew Dice Clay.
That's exactly what he sounds like. He's like, hey, you'll be happy to have you. And I, when he was moving, he did the same thing with me. Moved a room, and I came out. I said, now what I want to do is, Mikey, with all due respect, shut the F up. And, you know, and then in like 10 minutes, he had like eight guys, and they finished it. So if you ever need the guy, he does like
that. Well, they're coming on Thursday. They're coming on Thursday, And as I left for work today, the gypsies arrived, the cleaning ladies, the wonderful.
Do you hear the bells on the cart when they?
Yeah, you do, and all the donkeys are in the front yard.
They're very excited.
Yeah, they're making fire down there, and
wonderful.
And
they have all their cookware on the
outside. Homemade chipotle sauce and kind of like a hobo barbecue.
Oh, wonderful! It's just a.
They just come in from the woods on the outside of town, right?
right on the woods right outside Mayberry.
Right.
So anyway. The door opens up, and I hear, hola, hola, and I say, hola, good morning, I'm in here, Mrs. Frieda's at work today, anything you need, let me know, and normally these women, these gypsies, they're great, they clean, and they're fabulous, and I hear from upstairs, Mr. Mike, so, I go upstairs, I say, yes, and she says, the bed. Because she's for the first time seeing
that. Yeah, shocked.
She says, how did the bed get here? And I said, Frida and I pushed it there.
Right.
And then this is the funniest thing. I swear to God, this woman who speaks very little English, very sweet woman, and she has to be. She cleans my underpants.
Was there any desire to break the bed up and use it for firewood?
She said to me, she said, why don't you push it back? You push back. Push back. I said, can't push back. It's stuck. And I'm trying to talk to this woman who is in my house twice a week for the last 5 years, looking just wonderful in her 4th of July Stars and Stripes t-shirt, and she can't grasp the fact that I'm trying to tell her that it's stuck. I'm not able to put it into words.
Right.
So finally, I just had to go over, and I pushed, and I said, see? Stuck. And she said, but you go to, if you, and she's doing the visual with her hand saying, go around to the other room, make your way to the other room.
Push
from the other side. I said, I tried that. And then she said, I help.
Right.
I help. Now, listen.
Oh, no. And it was out of the doorway in like 6 seconds.
No. This woman weighs maybe like 85 pounds. So I put her in the position that Frida put me in, and I said, okay, you ready?
Whoa, really?
Wow. Hey. Okay. Here we go. You ready? 1, 2, 3. And nothing. Okay. Absolutely nothing.
I thought she might have held the bass.
Absolutely. And then I hear from the other side, and I don't know even if it's Honduran or what, but I just hear,
She
was cursing the bed.
No, I think she was finally realizing that this was really going to screw up her day.
Right.
That, like, to get to the washing machine and everything that she's... Because, you know, the big dumb family got the bed stuck there. But things are great at home, I'll just say, as opposed to yesterday.
Well, hell, if you're tackling household projects.
Things are good. And Frida's shown no signs of the herpetic scars yet.
But that's a good thing.
Sometimes it doesn't show.
And... Sometimes it doesn't, Buzz, but sometimes it does. And Mike, I want to thank you for not bringing that up yesterday when you could have.
Well, that would have been a hassle.
Like, it would have been a hassle if you brought it up 8 or 9 times.
Yeah, uh-huh. But two times a day.
Two times a day.
No hassle there.
That's okay. I get absolutely no hassles. Hold on a second. There you go.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
There he is.
Now, I have to tell you that what I need is a copy, Robbie, of all of these things for my computer. Because the game that I want to play with friends, we can't do it on the radio. I can only do it with people here at the station. Like, and it helps if they're not listening. So Alan.
That's usually a guarantee that he's not listening.
I bet he's not even in town, though.
No, he's here.
Oh, is he really?
He's your not listening go-to guy.
Okay, here we go. Come on, Alan, be there. Because I want to talk to Larry.
Alan.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Hey, Larry. How are you?
Okay.
Good. Everything good with you?
And, I read the obituaries every day. Look at the ages of the people that died.
That's good.
I think I look better now. I know I think I feel better now.
How's your wife?
You know, I often ponder this. What is too much?
I don't know.
Unbelievable.
Okay, how's the family?
I got some few chest pains. First chest pains I've had in 10 years.
Sorry to hear that.
Me and the wife and the two kids.
Got a beautiful family.
A boy.
Mm-hmm.
A boy.
A boy?
A boy.
Okay.
Lying in bed. It was funny.
That was funny.
No contest.
Hey, Larry, I gotta go.
Nope.
What do you mean, no?
I don't know. That's my three words. I don't know.
Oh, I thought you said no.
Probably yes.
You just said no.
Nope. Good luck.
Thank you. You too.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
All right, Larry.
You know, I often ponder this. What is too much?
That's a good question. I never thought of that.
I want to see it all.
Oh. What do you want to see?
I would rather do Saddam Hussein, but who would?
Jeez.
Jeez.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
All right, Larry, anything else?
New York. My hometown, New York.
New York, great city.
New York.
All right, Larry.
I still at times, right before I fall asleep, wonder if I'm going to get up.
That's not too funny.
That hurt. Back to life.
Yes, it is.
I pinch myself more. I can't. Whoever thought that I'd get.
Okay, Larry.
Okay, let's do it this way.
Go ahead.
You were not born, you were made in a toy factory. You were not born, you were made in a toy factory. It was funny. It
was funny.
Okay.
Okay, what, Larry?
I got some few chest pains. First chest pains I've had in 10 years.
Better call a doctor.
I'm the oldest person in a lot of places now.
Uh.
This universe has been around a long time, and it's going to be around a long time. And I'm here for a blip of it.
You've been around a long time, Larry.
The nature of the beast.
Yes, it is.
Basically, my style is one of utter... It's almost... I don't want to say naivety. I'm curious.
What are you curious about?
The only thing I worry about is dying. I'm curious. I want to know why.
It'd be nice to live forever, I guess, huh?
I like the climate. I like the people. I like the entertainment world.
Mm-hmm. All right, Larry, listen. Have a good rest of the day.
Nope. You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm serious.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Good luck.
Good luck to you, too.
Good luck.
Good luck to you, too.
You won't hang out.
Come on. Forget it.
Forget about it.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, he's gone.
Hello.
Oh.
I'm lying in bed.
I don't need to know that.
What wigs me out the most is how fat I was.
He won't hang up. This is Alan. He won't hang up.
That would be rude.
Uh-huh. Hello. I'm listening, Larry. I'm all ears.
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
Well, that's a possibility. I've been told worse.
Wish we could play
Michael Jackson tonight. I want to see it all.
Hey, Larry.
Okay.
Listen, it's going to sound like I'm hanging up on you, but I'm not.
Hello.
Okay, Larry. It's going to sound that.
Hey!
Poor old Alan.
That was great because he was busy. Yeah.
That was good.
We were keeping him from things.
That was funny.
Okay.
Yeah, that was good, Larry.
That was
we'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Only where are we?
And there's so much whining going on. I can't handle it.
The Don and Mike Show. They will touch you in the place called the heart. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Make that the best of Don and Mike. It's me, your old buddy Rob Spiewak, playing you great moments from Don and Mike's past. And luckily, I budgeted the time correctly, and we do have time for another segment. I'll pause while you applaud. It's an episode of Jew to Jew. Let us attack the notion of rounding down. Oh, they don't like it. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Buzz?
Yes?
We need you for another intro.
I'm ready this time.
Here we go. Now, we do love Jew to Jew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the story. A novelty store in New York is telling customers to keep their change.
Hmm.
The Abracadabra Superstore has had a new policy called rounding down.
Wonderful.
For instance, you go in there and you buy stuff that costs $32.75.
Mm-hmm.
They only charge you $32.
I like that. That's
okay.
Nice.
I don't.
Yes, of course. You, because that's all you think about.
Like you don't.
Well, I do, but I think this is wonderful for the consumer.
So the doctor, the lawyer, we're ready. Buzz?
Ready.
If you wouldn't mind, we're on the air.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's Jew to Jew with your hosts, Dr. Donald Goldstein and Michael Goodman, attorney at law.
Hello again, everyone.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
Thank you, Michael, here on the Westwood One Network. Hi, this is Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law, and we are glad to have you back once again. And we've got a wonderful, wonderful thing to talk about in the world of retail sales.
You say it's wonderful. I don't think so.
Well, I know you're concerned. You've expressed concern over the fact that this individual might be losing dollars doing
Paul
this.
Paul Bloom.
But I think it's a wonderful idea.
Hello, Paul.
Paul?
Hello.
Well, welcome to the show, Paul.
Well, thank you.
I've been told that you would like a plug. No problem. www.abracadabrasuperstore.com.
Now, we're aware of the practice that you have of rounding down, and I just want to say, this is Michael Goodman, attorney at law, and I want to say this is a wonderful idea, and I'm sure it's been very well received, to tell you the truth. Has it been well received?
Well, I like it myself. Just myself, because I don't have to bother with the change at the register, and...
Paul.
It makes things quicker at the register, and the customers love it, of course.
Paul, Dr. Goldstein here.
Dr. Goldstein.
Seriously, call me doctor.
Dr.
Donnie, I'm kidding. Call me Donnie.
Donnie Doctor.
I want to tell you something that I think you're losing your mind and you're losing money. For instance, if I come in...
It doesn't mean you're losing your mind.
For instance, if I come into your...
It doesn't mean you're losing your money.
You're losing your money. I think he's doing something...
It doesn't do with your mind.
I think he's sane and he's doing something wonderful for the consumers. And he says it's wonderful for him. I think it's wonderful for the consumer.
I want to buy some magic cards for my child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for little Alan.
Right.
And let's say that I go in, and these cards cost $4.99.
Right.
You're telling me if I give you
$4. $4, that's all
I walk out of the store?
That's it.
Hey, you schmuck.
Save 99 cents.
Excuse me. Excuse my French.
Yeah, of course.
You putz. You just had 99 cents. Walk out the door.
Well, of course you wouldn't like it, Donald, because you've never undercharged anything.
Well,
you've never, you know, and I think you're totally, your prices are completely unreasonable.
Listen. My prices, be it a gallbladder,
mm-hmm.
be it appendicitis,
yes.
Or be it my fabulous turn at the elective plastic surgery.
I understand.
I think you'll find that my prices are very reasonable.
But you've never rounded down anything in your life.
What is your hourly rate?
My hourly rate is irrelevant to this discussion.
What if someone was really down on their luck? Would you give them a lower rate?
I don't have, it's not 99. You don't say $150.99 an hour.
What if someone came to you?
Not the way it works. Paul, I apologize.
Attorney Goodman, excuse me, Mr. Goodman, but I've been done wrong in this legal action. I'm sure that I'm wrong. Would you please...
Can I ask Paul a question,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Paul, and incidentally, the website, I will give you another plug, is abracadabrasuperstore.com. And I'm sure that your business has increased...
It has.
With this, of course it has. Are you getting good pub?
I'm sure you've lost money.
I might have lost some change, but I didn't lose any money.
Did you hear what he said? He hasn't lost any money.
May I tell you something?
It's change.
Let me explain the change family to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's penny, nickel, dime, quarter.
Well, thank you for enlightening me.
I think the public hasn't come to grips that change doesn't amount to much these days.
That's right.
That's the gigantic jaw that I have on top of my dresser.
The way of the dinosaur.
Do you find that in general this keeps your bookkeeping easier?
Yes.
Of course it does.
Now, the notion of the sales tax troubles me. What say you?
We pay the sales tax, the difference.
Oh, hold on. Wait a minute. That's more money out of your pocket?
More money out of my pocket.
More money out of your pocket.
But I will tell you that overall...
You put that towards advertising. It's the same thing.
Hold on. You put it towards advertising. That's more money out of your pocket.
But he's on our show. Think of the advertising he's getting, and I'm sure he's doing...
I'm telling people...
You've got a man that can handle this.
You can go to abracadabrasuperstore.com.
Right.
You can spend New York City. 36.
Come to the store.
Where's your location in New York?
19 West 21st Street.
It's a beautiful location.
Between 5th and 6th Avenue in the Flatiron District.
That's a beautiful location.
We sell to all the TV shows and the movie studios and theaters in town.
What's a neat item you could get at your store? What's something that would be special?
I'll tell you what my hottest item is.
What's your hottest item?
On the website is the Donald Trump wig.
Oh, that's wonderful.
How much is that?
It's $55.
So if I come in...
In the store, pay cash.
It's flat $55.
No, it'd be taxed $59.74. It'd be $59. You save $59.
So say you take that hassle away from the consumer, and I say bravo to you.
And
bravo
I say to you, sir, I will...
You're worried about him losing money.
Don't worry about me losing money. Listen to me, Paul.
Yes.
The next time I'm in New York...
Come by.
When a squeegee man comes up to my town car...
Right.
...and says... Oh, Dr. Goldstein, don't you remember me? I was Paul Bloom. I was on your show. You know what I'll do? I'll hit the power window and I'll say, I told you, you're losing money.
I think I'm going to be reduced to a squeegee man.
That's the doctor talking. I am Michael Goodman, attorney at law, and I will tell you that I think this is a marvelous idea. I'm going to go, if I may.
Most of your listeners, I'm sure, would
appreciate. How do you make money?
If I may go a step further... I think that this will catch on.
Right.
And I think that you will see more stores, including the big ones, the chains, that will go to this.
As always.
To simplify, because I believe, like Mr. Bloom, that the chain system in the United States is antiquated.
May I say something?
Yes, you may.
I'm a physician.
I'd love our guest to
I am a healer.
Yes.
I try to help people. The person that I'm trying to help here,
it's not a big,
my patient.
It's not a big help when they open your bill.
My patient.
Yes.
Oh, and your hourly rate again?
You bring up my hourly rate, but I'm saying that I like the idea of rounding, and I've seen some of your bills.
Four Christmas seasons ago. Four holiday seasons ago.
78, 72.
Four Hanukkahs ago.
Ridiculous.
Four Kwanzas ago.
You're out of your mind.
Who actually went down to the soup kitchen?
I understand.
I went there, and you know what I did? I dropped off a bag of perishable goods.
May I just say this, and I don't...
Have you ever done
as
much?
You know, I don't like it when we argue, but I will tell you that guilt is a strong motivation. All right?
I'm not don't be passive-aggressive with
I'm
me.
Not going to be. We should plug the website again, please.
AbracadabraSuperstore.com.
Paul, I apologize for this argument.
And at that point, I think I'm going to say good day to you guys.
Paul, listen, as a doctor, I'm telling you, I'm concerned about you.
Thank you.
Concerned you're the patient.
I'm concerned where he's going to put all his money, because he's going to be an overwhelming success.
Please consider occasionally rounding up.
Rounding up, no. I'm not a doctor.
You're not there. Bravo to you, sir. Bravo.
And you're soon to be a squeegee man.
No, he's not. He's going to be.
Listen, I don't see how you're going to make money on this.
Someone's going to do fine.
Someone has to tell
you.
We
don't need to be.
Anyway, anyone come to town, come to New York, come to Abracadabra Superstore, and we're at 19 West 21st Street. We'd love to have you. If you want to call me and talk to me personally, you can call me in the store.
Come in.
My number is 212-627-5194. At this time, I'm going to sign off.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on the show, Paul.
Thank you.
Bye now, guys.
Buy something for $1.99 and give the man a dollar.
Thanks for joining us for Jew to Jew with your host, Dr. Donald Goldstein and Michael Goodman, attorney at law. Jew to Jew is brought to you by the law firm of Ephraim & Associates on the Westwood One Radio Network. This is Golan Chappell speaking.
Hey, you have a new name.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, there we go.
To get back to there. Where's the bank? Select three there.
I like Buzz's new name, Golan Chappell.
I like that.
Yeah. Very, very nice.
Governor like Pratt.
That was wonderful.
He says the policy's increased business,
mm-hmm.
but more importantly, has kept his customers from chiseling him down or asking for discounts.
Bingo.
So,
thank you for joining us. I hope you all had a good time.
That was great.
I did, attorney.
I always do, doctor. Always big fun.
I love it when you guys bicker.
Thank you. We were bickering today.
Yeah. Weren't we? And with good reason. Your hourly rate, incidentally.
It's exorbitant.
Yes.
I'm aware of
it's
that.
It's like it's the budget for a small country.
I understand it is. Well, you know, with the bills, a man has to pay his bills.
Mm-hmm. My wife, Frieder, gets into a fender bender. I say, call my good friend, Michael Goodman. And the next thing I know, I get something in the mail. And I say, oh, this must be an invitation to a party or a get-together.
Sure.
You know what it was? It was a B-I-double-L.
I understand.
A B-I-double-L.
I try to do the very best I can. I do. That's why I have a new special option in my car.
What's that?
An egg timer. Bingo. And for your convenience, I keep a credit card machine in my reception area. Thank you. I stole that idea.
You stole that idea from the lawyers at Infinity Broadcasting.
I did. Pay as you exit. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.